You turned the audio on?
Like 1 minute ago. Yeah.
Okay, right.
The audio is on. The audio is live. The stream is up.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh, yeah. I'm back.
Episode 15, live show number 2, with Ben, Morgan, Lance, Robin, and Selena the Sting Machine.
So welcome to Discourse, episode 15.
Episode 15.
We have a guest.
We do have a guest.
Do you want to play his sting?
We've got a guest on Discourse.
I've got another one. Oh, you've got another one. What's the other one?
Consultant, investor, director, and VC without the cash, Lance Wiggs.
That's very good. Is that who it is? Lance Wiggs.
Yeah, you probably see
heard
him
he
in
had
the,
a.
In
I
shot.
Heard he had a crappy website that went down real hard. But that might just be me.
I promised Lance I was going to be nice, but I didn't say anything about you.
No one speaks for me, not even myself. This show is brought to you by Monster Energy Drink, Taurine, ginseng, and a whole fucking load of sugar. This has not been a paid announcement, unfortunately. Actually, if you're a consultant and all the other stuff, maybe you can give us some advice on how to monetize this goddamn show.
Sure.
Go on then.
Well, you need to pay me first.
Oh, no, that's not right, happening.
He's a consultant, yes.
Or have a maybe 20%.
We give you 20%?
Yeah.
No, that's far too much. Yeah. We need to keep an ownership stake.
Well, first build your audience from 500,000 to more like 700,000.
Right.
And then let's talk about...
An audience of 500,000 for a New Zealand podcast.
That's right.
That would never happen.
That's what Ben told me.
500,000.
That's what he said you've got.
Maybe seconds listened to.
Yeah.
Man, this is weird. This is not how... Hey, wow, Ustream producer just disconnected. Hello, listeners to the podcast. This is obviously another live show, which means that we spend too much of our attention trying to make the stream work. Instead of making a high-quality podcast, which is obviously what you're used to with Discourse. Hey, Robin, are you there?
Hi, yes, hello, I'm here.
Do you think we should get the Sting Machine to do another intro?
People won't know who I am otherwise.
I know, that would be terrible. Are you ready? Are you ready? Yes. It's exciting. Yes.
Senior cultural commentator and Wellington Affairs correspondent, Robin Gallagher.
None of that was right.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start.
Yep. Do you think we should start again? Because this is just a complete disaster.
This happened last time too. But no, we do have a guest here, Lance. I asked Lance to come on.
Hey, wow, I'm getting an echo. Where am I getting an echo from?
From your monitoring.
No, it's from one of you. It's from you, is it? Who was it?
No.
I'm not monitoring over there.
Not me.
Robin?
I can hear it too.
I bet it's this one. Yeah, okay.
It's why don't you start again, guys?
Yep.
Yeah, let's start again. Hey, chat listeners, live viewers, this is a fucking train wreck. This is the most train wreck that we've ever had.
The funny thing is when we record these normally, you'd never hear any of this stuff. But anyway.
And this time you won't hear any of this stuff either. But the live show listeners, unfortunately, yeah, they get it.
So I had a couple of interesting things happen to me in the last couple of days. Well, not interesting. It didn't happen to me at all. I saw a few interesting things on the web because New Zealand's a small place. New Zealand's a small place and the New Zealand internet is even tinier.
Yeah.
So when things happen, like a startup gets bought by a very heavily underwater other internet company.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So Yellow bought this company called Groupie, and that was the first I'd heard of Groupie.
Yeah.
And then the next day on Stuff, there was a takeover of the entire site saying, get your $1 hell pizzas from Groupie here.
Yeah, I've heard that really sucked.
Well, I didn't think anything of it, but the funny thing was, at exactly the same time, I was talking on Twitter about how crap hell pizzas were.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well...
Oh, they are. They're completely shit.
Two birds with one stone. Yep. I'll try Groupie.
So you guys aren't looking to hell as a potential sponsor, for example?
No.
Actually, I've suggested that a previous episode was brought to you by hell, but it wasn't a paid announcement.
Well, they're welcome to sponsor us, but anyone who...
So what happened with hell?
Anyone who sponsored us would know it was... there's no...
There's no favoritism.
There's no favoritism. There's no treatment, special treatment.
I would talk at great length about any sponsor, glowingly.
Unfortunately, I am a sellout. At great length about hell, and it hasn't been that good.
Yeah,
we have eaten hell on a previous episode, and it was just fine. Mm-hmm. And so, guess what? Okay. Guess what? Because you're not actually getting to the point. So Groupie is a group buying site where you get a discount if enough people get involved.
Yep.
Do you need a number of people involved, or is it just first come, first served with your ones?
Up until now, you need a number of people involved, and right now you don't.
Okay.
Yep.
But we'll see what happens.
So today's special was Hell Pizza, Hell Large Pizza for $1.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we actually got one, even though when Ben tried it, the site was a complete fucking disaster and just threw up an ASP error. Better than Discourse is currently doing as we record. It's not even throwing up an error. It is just down hard.
Yeah, that's karma.
But why am I suffering karma for your online ridicule? I did no ridiculing.
Too.
Well, you're what? What's that, Robin?
I'm suffering too.
Why are you suffering, Robin?
I'm really suffering.
Because her
suffering
site's
hard
on my server.
Oh, that's your problem, Robin. Yeah. Come to me, I'll sort you out.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm usually the one that makes that kind of quip, Ben.
So, Lance, you were a minority investor in Groupie. Was that your position?
Yeah, look, it's one of... I had 10%.
Yep.
And it's a classic... a startup that I'm involved with where the main founder generally has about half the company and the remaining 40% is between usually the developers and the designers. Right. This one is a bit different. The founder was Scott Kitney, really smart guy and obviously a very accomplished developer. All that whinging that you did this morning, he fixed all that stuff. I mean, the site got crushed today, crushed.
Yeah.
And is actually... you know, we've over doubled our membership today, and we're really, really happy with what happened.
Yeah.
And Scott, and then Andrew Hunt is in there as well, and he's been he's sort of holding the rest of the show together. Yeah. And I've been giving advice on how to make money, and most of the time I spend on this is actually on helping them do this sale. Mm.
Oh, that's cool. Just for record, the reason I got really grumpy about it was that error. The error that it threw. Yeah. Is an error that I would have run across the room in the development shop that I work in and slapped someone over. It was just absolute newbie error. And I take Scott's word that, you know, he worked through the night for 7 days to get this thing up and running. And, I mean, these sort of things happen, and they happen to everyone. And I think Glenn Barnes said it best when he said, lesson learned. I mean, you learn from these things and you move on. Is this an unusual thing, a New Zealand startup getting an early exit?
It seems to be.
Yeah.
It seems to be.
So I guess when everyone thinks of startups getting bought in New Zealand, they think Trade Me, they think, I don't know, what else?
Well, probably the biggest after Trade Me may have been Finder.
Okay.
We don't know what the details are there.
Yeah.
Zillion exited a bit quietly to APN. Ferret was probably the biggest exit we had. There were some big numbers thrown around on that one. Unfortunately, they're all negative.
Yes.
And then Trademy's actually done a bit of dealing and wheeling. So they bought out Vianet, which is the engine behind Travelbug.
Okay.
They bought out Holiday Houses.
I love Travelbug.
There you go. And looking for some advertising. And they bought out, they invested in No Cowboys, which is where they the engine behind Tradies.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
getting a tradesman come around to your house, that sort of stuff.
So nothing's come of that yet, though, has it? Or it's just...
I'm not quite sure how it all works, frankly.
Yeah.
They've got services on their site now. They're probably sourcing that from those guys.
Because I tried Builder's Crack. Mm-hmm. Builder's Crack is... I guess it's like No Cowboys, where you put up your job. Mine was a re-roofing job. And it was pretty good. I didn't end up going with one of the four that I got from there. I actually ended up going with one that I'd called directly. But it was actually... I was really happy with the response from it. People came through. And
it's good to have competition in these markets, right? Because that makes everybody better.
Yes, definitely. It is. But I hadn't heard of Groupie until it was bought out. You said it had 20,000 members before today.
Yep. Probably a couple of reasons you hadn't heard of it, apart from the obvious, that you're just not in touch with the internet in New Zealand. The first one was that we didn't actually have any money. So we didn't go out there and advertise, and hit it hard. And second reason, because we didn't have any money, we didn't do $1 pizzas.
Right.
Because that actually, you know, that's an expensive thing to do.
Yeah.
And then we were second in Auckland. We were first in Wellington, first in New Zealand as a group buying site, but we were second in Auckland after Grab One, and they executed well. Yeah. Those guys.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're gonna finish first, while we. We started first, and we're going to finish first, let's put it that way, because now we've got the muscle that we need.
It's an interesting thing that I wonder if the New Zealand space is different, where people aren't afraid to try these things because they've seen, you know, around the time of Trade Me, people would say, why would you bother? eBay is so huge. And you could say the same thing with Groupon. Why would you bother doing group purchasing because Groupon's so huge? But is it because places like Groupon and eBay don't care about New Zealand, or do you think it's a different
it's a New Zealand thing? So you picture yourself, you're Groupon, you've got a bunch of cash,
yeah.
You want to own the world as quickly as you can, but first of all, you've got to own the biggest markets. So the biggest markets are, you know, start with the States and then
Europe,
you know, go around Europe, but in Europe you've got different languages, that's tough. And then you've got Australia's like way down the list. And New Zealand's, oh, we should do that as well. Maybe. So eBay just ignored New Zealand. They did New Zealand out of Australia. They served it out of the USA. There's lots of reasons why they failed.
Yeah.
The Groupon guys, they're actually pretty quick. I mean, they're very quick. And they're entering markets. I think they're entering Australia soon.
Wow.
But they've done acquisitions. Yeah. And they're smart guys, right? And they've got a bunch of cash.
How much did they turn down? $6 billion, was it?
$6 billion, but I think they just raised a bunch of cash on a pretty impressive valuation as well. So, this game actually makes money. We've been profitable for over half our existence. So,
and your existence hasn't been very long, right?
Since June.
Right.
So what's the model? Do you take a cut of the coupons or...
You offer, the model is that a merchant...
Do you get the value of all the coupons that aren't redeemed?
No.
Because that would be a fucking ton.
The merchant gets that. The merchant says, you know, I've got a service, not a product, a service, I really want people to come and experience it because no one knows about me. So it's a great form of advertising promotion for those guys. They say, well, it's normally $100. I'm going to offer it for $50.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, guys, but I actually did an experiment today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sting Machine, you're going to have to be our door guy. I used a code that we got off Groupie, off one of our lovely listeners, no need for disclosure, Su Yin Ku, who managed to get a code, which Ben didn't manage to do, and gave it to us very kindly.
You're going to have to go down.
It's paid for. And I ordered it for delivery tonight just to see if hell would be, you know, melting down under the weight of all these $1 pizzas. And here it is. It's 9 p.m. I ordered it for delivery at 9 p.m. on the fucking dot. How great is that service? $1 pizza. Here it is.
We'll have to see how they taste first.
Well, they're going to taste great because oh, God, I'm sorry. Robin, I didn't even think about it.
You didn't think about me, did you?
On the bright side, Robin, they're both vegetarian pizzas.
If someone would like to send Robin a pizza, I'm sure if you send a message to these guys that they'll get it to Robin.
We wouldn't complain.
Hello, listeners. Make sure that Robin gets a $1 pizza, please, or even a free pizza.
And if you're listening to this afterwards, you know, just tomorrow or next week or whatever, do the same. Send Robin a pizza.
Send Robin a pizza.
Yeah. In fact, overload her with pizzas.
Ryan French in the chat room wants us to send one to 233 Cuba Street.
We'll organise that too.
So also from the chat room, Lance, we have a comment from Polar Bear Farm, successful app developer. Groupie is a build and flick opportunity based off cloning overseas, well executed. That's true, right?
Yeah, look, I think
You looked at what was working well.
Yep.
And you built one.
Yep, and that we're not the only one.
Just like Sam did with Trade Me.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot more to Trade Me than a groupie. So Trade Me was a...
Well, except that he saw eBay and he thought, well, that doesn't work very well for New Zealanders, so I'll build a local one. I don't know if he noticed, but Trade and Exchange were completely dropping the ball. Look at what Trade and Exchange failed to do. They owned the market.
That is amazing.
And they fucked it. They completely...
Complete travesty, Trade and Exchange, but also the auto sites as well.
Yep. Auto Trader.
And they completely didn't see it coming. They saw it coming and they couldn't execute themselves into actually
and
it's competing with themselves.
It's at the point now where things like job sites and stuff and real estate sites can't compete because the network is at Trade Me.
Yep. Yep.
I think I've just been told off for talking too much. Hey, Winding Road, if you don't like hearing my voice on my podcast.
Your podcast.
Well, I've got the mixing control here.
I was thinking something about Groupie is what you have to do. I think the core thing is to have the relationships with the people selling things. You can't just set up a site. You've actually got to have, you know, go out and get clients. And that, I think, is a lot of the hard work.
You are 100% correct. So there are a couple of things you need. One is you need a really good website, which means you need people that get the web and can develop really quickly.
And
server. You need really good Facebook and advertising promotion sort of gumption. You need to know that stuff cold. And you need to be able to sell. And that means you need to build a sales network and roll this thing out across lots of cities. And that's probably where we didn't do as well as we'd like. We did Wellington, we did Auckland, happy with those guys, but we just didn't have the oomph to push those out further across the rest of the country.
It is that specific that you can't... I mean, I suppose some of them are like the ones for the Brazilian waxes and stuff, you have to be able to go there and get it done. So that's why you've got the regional thing going on.
Well, no, most of the stuff is about local businesses advertising to local people.
Okay.
That's why a Groupon works. That's why a Groupie works.
Right.
And it's sites that you'd never think of, you know, shops you'd never think of,
yeah.
Going there, and they all of a sudden they get 300 customers they've never seen before. That's cool.
Yeah. And like the hell one where you're not going to just buy one $1 pizza.
Right.
And they've got massive margin on their other pizzas. So they're, yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And those guys are, you know, you've now had to log into this site and buy it online.
Yeah.
And there's some scrummy pizza coming up to us right now. And
oh, yeah.
Go see again. You know, you've actually got to, they've got you now as a customer,
yeah.
Right? And they've got a chance to market to you. And you've got a chance to try their product and see how it is and that sort of stuff too.
What's the rating, Morgan, on that pizza?
Did you get remember that could be an appetizer?
Did you get a thin base? Because I abhor pan-based pizzas. Oh, great, there is a thin base one.
Looks pretty thin to me.
Yeah, it's crispy.
I got customized pizzas.
There's
a pause while the guys eat some pizza. I love this.
Blue cheese and refried beans.
Oh my god!
That's
so good. It's so good.
Review with it in your mouth.
All right,
Morgan does a live pizza review.
But it's very hot. Very smooth from the beans. I think there's some avocado and mushroom in here as well.
Great Scott!
I mean, I'm not prepared to review this at all. And olives.
Excellent.
No anchovies, no bacon, no pepperoni, no ham,
yeah.
None of that other murder stuff.
Meat is murder. We'll talk about this later on. We have some interesting questions for you later on.
All right. Are you going to pretend that I speak for vegans, are you?
Yes.
I don't even speak for vegetarians.
So, Lance, what is the what else is under the radar at the moment in the New Zealand startup landscape? You know,
well, who knows? It's under the radar.
Well,
But I don't know. I mean, Polar Bear Farms is a good example of someone that's doing some really good stuff.
Wow.
Under the radar. Obviously, Dave Frampton with Chopper 2. And then I think the iPhone, iPad, Mac OS development space is actually where all the cool stuff's happening. Yeah. And Android, you know, not so much. It's actually quite hard to buy from there. So one of the companies I'm involved with is Lingo Power. Yeah. And we've shipped over a million iPhone apps.
Oh.
But on Android, it's really hard because every phone is different. Yeah. And so some of the phones it works on, some phone it doesn't work on. And so we've just really struggled with Android.
Yeah.
Was Mac, Apple, well, just makes that, it so damned easy.
We're finding that too. Like, we're pitching for our first couple of Android jobs. And the first questions you have to go back to the customer is, what versions do you want to support?
Yep.
And what phones do you want to support? Because we're not going to fucking support the Motorola backflip running 1.5 on a landscape screen.
Yeah,
get fucked.
2.2 plus.
Yeah, 2.2 plus and these three phones in New Zealand.
We tried, when we did LingoPower, when we started, we thought, language translation on your phone, that's great. And so we got into J2ME and this all this horrible old stuff on the old phones. And who the hell downloads apps to their non-iPhone, non-Android, non-Windows 7 phone? Nobody, right?
Yeah.
And it was just too hard. We didn't make a dime out of that stuff.
Yeah.
Luckily, the iPhone came along and we were able to flip over that.
It's very interesting. But the thing is that that people like Polar Bear Farm and Magic Dave, they don't need funding, do they? I mean, Dave has got himself a house and a car and out of his apps. He doesn't need any money.
Don't forget, this is a bit of a rock star thing, right? So
it's
just like music. Lots and lots of struggling musicians. People do this for passion, and the few people at the top make a mint. The nice thing about the iPhone thing is that there are a bunch of people in there as well,
right,
those guys included, who can make money by selling the services to others, right? So every company wants an iPhone app and stuff.
Yep.
So they can do that on the side while they're delivering other apps. But there's a lot of overnight successes that have been working away at this for quite some time. We don't know about yet.
Overnight successes like Magic Dave has been working on that same app for 15 years.
Yeah. Exactly.
Carl, 15 years for an overnight success.
Exactly.
It helps to be an early adopter, eh? I bet all those guys who got in on Windows Phone 7 early must be just swimming in huge fountains of cash now. Well, after that thing sold like hot rocks.
Apparently so, yeah.
I have to say that I did build a really crap iPhone app in the early days of the App Store and made $3,000.
$3,000, golly.
If I built that same app today, I would make diddly squat because it would just disappear straight into the bowels of the 300,000 other apps. So, yeah, well, being early was good. Mm. Yeah.
Being good is good as well. It seems like really shit apps don't make much money, strangely enough.
Yeah.
Eventually, no. Mm. Yeah. But it also seems like the translation space is interesting. The shit apps are the ones that just go to Google, grab a translation and give it back to you. Mm. And we've struggled for years and they'll be ugly and they'll have these 1 out of 5 reviews. But because they're top sellers, they take ages to move out of the top 100.
Yeah.
And it's just and these guys are just making a mint for something.
Someone was telling me that if you're in the top 10-ish of the App Store, you're talking 10,000... sales a day, isn't it? Or if you're top one, it's 10,000, and it's a few thousand if you're in the top 10.
Let's not forget that there are a lot of countries, right?
And
you could be top in Japan. Like, we're really big in Japan. You could be top in Japan, but nowhere in the States, right. And big in the UK and all that sort of stuff.
So. Mikey Havoc's big in Japan. Oh, I was tripping out on you.
They still like him there.
I bet. I think he had multiple tours.
So before we move on with the rest of the show, Lance, which you're welcome to stay for if you'd like to, I have one other question, which is I've got this great idea. There's this budding podcast network, and we could probably, I think, talk about 5% for a couple of million. What do you think?
No question. In fact, I'd probably give you $1 trillion.
Right.
Zim dollars.
Yeah.
You guys are a classic example of an overnight success that, you know, hopefully will happen.
Yeah.
And it won't be a podcast because, as everyone knows it, you don't make money out of podcasts. But hopefully this will turn into, you know, something that's media, that's TV, that's professionally produced. Maybe you end up going on radio.
You hear what he said about you, just, you know, professionally produced.
Blah, blah, blah. But but you know, hopefully it turns into something like that. As you guys get better, do your 10,000 hours.
Ben's actually moving on the opposite trajectory. He was on TV. Now this is all he does. He's only doing this part-time now.
At least he's getting pizza.
I saw something inspiring, though, today. That you, Leo Laporte just posted today a YouTube video of his tour of his new studio. So he's actually now gone and leased a building. Leo Laporte from Twit. It's a podcast network in the States. So he's actually now at the point now of leasing a building to build a studio in it.
Right.
He's come up. He was a TV guy before, but he's come the other way. He's started a podcast network, and he's up there. It's fantastic. Yes. Well, thank you.
And there are a bunch of people actually who are making money out of podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
But by a bunch, I mean, not in New Zealand. Zero in New Zealand. But there's fuck all podcasts in New Zealand. Yeah, right. That's why we are, without doubt, the best podcast in New Zealand, because there's only a dozen, and the other ones are all shit.
They don't have good.
They're all third-rate hack comedians who only manage to get it together to do a show every 3 months.
They don't speak with
a mouthful. Or, you know, some nerd talking about, you know, not New Zealand-y stuff anyway.
Way to nurture the community.
I am.
discouraging
the shit to fuck off.
Terrible.
So Groupie is a tiny sideline for you. The other thing that I believe you're heavily involved in is a big fucking cable out of New Zealand.
I'm actually more excited about this.
Yeah, to get our international bandwidth sorted out.
Yeah.
How's that going?
It's going well. So it's actually not that big. It's about the size of a garden.
Say more about what this is.
Pacific Fibre is, we're trying to build a cable. We're going to build a cable between Australia, New Zealand and the USA. Fibre optic cable. It's going to be almost double the size of the current market out there, at least.
So double the capacity of what's in the ground right
now. So the
double
Southern Cross.
What's in the water right now.
Right, yep. Yeah.
So Southern Cross is a competitor. There are basically
how big
four
is that?
Competitors.
In gigabits.
It's, how long is a bit of string?
Yeah.
It varies depending on who you talk to. I think right now it's 1.2 terabits per second.
Because they can change.
1.2 terabits?
They can actually change what they put down it, can't they? Over time.
Different frequencies of light and so on. Yeah.
Yeah, so how long do you have? But basically, you know, the light carries information, has wavelengths inside it, and each wavelength you can have a certain amount of information in it, and that amount of information you can upgrade over time. But eventually you stop being able to upgrade it because of the age of the stuff and so on. So anyway, we're going to build this cable. We've got technology, you know, going out for RFP. We postponed that. We're going to do that probably in February. We're going hard on financing. We're going to go out and ask for financing. I can't talk about that in public, obviously, because it's private. And then on the sales side, we've got some pretty key customers pretty heavily engaged with us that have really that want this to happen as much as everyone else.
So there's a question in the chat room saying, what time frame are we talking? I guess they're talking about when will I see a difference in my connection.
So the first thing is that you should see a difference pretty soon because our presence in the market has dropped the price substantially, like 60 to 80%. We're not quite sure exactly how much.
That on contracts coming into effect later, though, isn't it?
People that are buying stuff now, people that are buying stuff for next year, the year after. And the prices have gone, have actually gone haywire. No one really knows what's going on.
Wow.
So that's good news, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we're still quite viable. The second thing is it's the second part of the question is we're going to go live in mid 2013.
That seems really very soon.
Yeah,
2013.
How long does it take to lay the cable?
Drag a piece of cable across the Pacific.
Well, you got to build the damn thing first, and then before you can do that, you've got to know which way you're going, so you know how thick the cable is and whether you bury it at each stage of that journey. And so that building actually takes longer than the laying. The laying takes a matter of three or four months or something.
Yeah.
And
but actually making the cable, you mean building the
cable, yeah, make it in the factory, put the repeaters in it, and so on, and bang it out in the ship.
It's crazy cool technology. There's a really, I don't know if I sent it to you, but there's a really awesome Wired article that sort of tells the story of cable laying. Did I send that to you? It's multiple pages.
It talks about the experience of the big guys on the boats.
Guys in bars in Thailand and stuff, you know, waiting for landings and the GPS-controlled boats because they have to slow down and spool out heaps of cable when they go over deep trenches. And
just
amazing technology. And those repeaters, because every kilometer or so they run power down there to...
Yeah,
power them up.
There's powers run down the circles inside the cable, but the repeaters are like every 80 to 150 kilometers.
Right.
And that the longer the cable, the closer the repeaters have to be because the more attenuation you've got.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
So those repeaters must actually be a problem because presumably the ends you can upgrade really easily, and the repeaters in the middle. They're under the sea.
They're optical filters and amplifiers.
Yeah. So they don't care about frequency?
Not so much.
Yeah.
So they're less likely to be put out of date. So the industry right now is upgraded from 2.5 to 10 and probably to 40 gigabits per second per wavelength. And there's maybe 60 or 80 wavelengths on a cable, on a fiber pair. The next technology leap is to 100 gigabits per second, but that's probably going to require a slightly different kind of fiber.
Right.
And so that's one of the decisions we've got to make is, what kind of fiber do we use? Yeah. Do we use the 40 proven, or do we go for something that's probably upgradable to 100?
I'm going to geek out seriously here but for the chat room, but I studied this as in one of my physics papers in university. And it's amazingly interesting in that the cable is now, they originally had the cables in two different, refractive indexes. So that when the light tried to exit the cable, it got bounced back in again.
That's right.
But now that's completely graduated. The refractive index of the light changes the further out from the... This cable has a width of a hair, but it has a gradient of refractivity from the centre outwards. So that as the light travels towards the outside of the cable, it bends back in.
Has anyone got a snoring sound effect?
Well done.
And there's actually different kinds of fibre optic you use. So you might have one kind there, and the next 200 kilometres another kind, and that sort of stuff as well. Okay. So it's all kind of fun. Yeah.
Amazing.
One of the issues with Pacific Fibre is that most of us are real geeks, and
I
love the technology, and I've just got to focus on get the money, raise the money.
So you're selling out of Australia as well, aren't you? Because you're going to run the cable from Australia via New Zealand to the
States. So we're selling in Australia and New Zealand, and obviously the other countries around it.
Yeah.
We're also going to go via Tonga and Samoa and American Samoa
and hook them up
and hook those guys up.
Right. Awesome.
Pretty cool,
that's
especially
great.
In Tonga because they're on satellite right now.
Right.
There you go, Morgan. Someone at the chat room saying that's not boring. Let's talk more about physics. And
but who knows who that is? This is not a technology podcast. It's a physics podcast.
I think I did the same
thing. Now, there's a question for you, actually, Lance. I'm not sure if you can answer this. What does a gigabit cost on Southern Cross right now? Rough estimate?
So the list price, they just put out a new list price, and obviously they don't publish this, and I haven't seen it. But last year, the list price for 10 gigabits per second for 15 years was, and protected, which means you get sort of a loop of 10 gig, was $50 million.
$50 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
This year, it's going to be a hell of a lot less than that.
Is that because there's competition?
Yeah.
They'll be desperate to sign people up for long-term contracts.
And is that to try and keep you out of the market? Get on mic, Ben. Is that to try and keep you out of the market? To stop you from getting financing?
Of course. I mean,
so then if you fail, the price goes back up, right?
They're a rational player. The price won't go back up. The price just won't go down as much, right? They're a rational player. They're smart people. They've got a really good cable system. New Zealand's lucky to have them, right? It was prescient thinking that Telecom and their partners put that thing in 2001. We are lucky to have that cable. You know, it's just the reason we're building is that, you know, we collectively in Australia and New Zealand, we need another one.
Right.
And we're going to run out of capacity, you know, sometime mid-late 2010s if we don't do something.
Right. And even before we run out of capacity, it'll get slower and slower, and our ridiculous charging model won't change.
Yeah, you get more contention. Yeah. So you get more people shoved down a same-size pipe.
You posted an interesting graph about, was it contention ratios around the world, and naturally insular countries or countries that use their own internal internet, like Japan, like Korea, who don't tend to use a lot of international sites, were higher contention. Was that right?
Yeah, so they're international. So you can imagine, you know, you've got 10 megabits per second at home, but by the time you share it with everybody else, you've only got, you know, 50 kilobits a second going out of the country. Now, don't trust me on that number. And in Japan, it doesn't matter because everyone's talking to each other in Japanese. Hmm. So they don't really go outside of the country that much.
Same with Korea.
And same with Korea. Exactly the same thing. There's a lot of interaction going on inside the country. Same in Israel, right? And the reason is singular language, right? So you've got Hebrew, you've got Japanese, and you've got Korean.
Let's make Maori our only language.
That could solve things. Unfortunately, we still want our Hollywood, and you know, for us, the internet is very much still in the
subtitles.
USA.
Maori is a beautiful written language. There's macrons. There's just something sexy about macrons. They look super hot.
And you know, plug for New Zealand, got macrons working.
Yeah, macrons.
We've got a question about a cable that Cordia was talking about.
What's happened to that?
Do you know anything about that?
No comment.
Yeah, so they might be involved in this new one.
I wouldn't push it.
Okay. Don't even need to... we've got a comment from the chat room. Lance is a legend. Like Hercules, is it? Are you really strong?
Apparently so.
Can you fight a griffin?
I'd rather not.
No, me neither. Those are scary animals.
The thing I find most amazing about the whole Pacific Fibre thing is I was there, you know, when you're talking about it from the early days, and I thought, yeah, we need one, but how is it ever going to happen? And
just into the microphone with your pizza-filled
that's what
gob,
we said.
Ben.
Yeah, just seeing it going from pipe dream to pipe. Is,
pipe dream,
it's awesome.
And that's the cool thing about it is that, you know, finally, we've all been saying this, you know, to each other, to ourselves, to the world for a while, and then, you know, Sam and Roy were like, well, fuck it. Let's do it ourselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got an email, you know, we've got a crazy plan from Rod. And then it went from there into this, okay, can we do some back of the envelope numbers or let's do some better numbers and then some better numbers and let's go and look at the technology and let's do this and let's do that. And before you know it, you know, we've hired two staff in the last, three in the last 2 months. We're going gangbusters.
Have you got any plans for a podcast?
Pacific Fibre Podcast. Or New Zealand's best podcast brought to you by Pacific Fibre.
That's actually one of the amusing things is that we don't need to get out there and get publicity.
No, everyone's coming to you.
Because, it's not so much that, is that our market is actually people that sit inside big telco.
Yep.
It's a very small industry, really, the submarine cable industry.
Mm. Yeah.
That's our market. And the financiers that sit inside iBanks and stuff. And these guys, the press isn't where they look to for investment advice, right? They want to see really, really solid documents and evidence and that sort of stuff. So, but it's just a wonderful thing. We had a vendor turn up to New Zealand, rocks into the airport. Someone in the line asked him, what does he do? He says, I'm a vendor for submarine cables. And then they said, oh, have you heard about Pacific Fibre? He reckoned, he before he got us to his hotel, he'd heard about us twice.
Shit.
And that means lower prices.
Yeah. Right. Now, that's cool.
Blatant raids is an interesting point because you've got mad as fuck libertarians out there like Peter Thiel. If you suddenly open up New Zealand's bandwidth and make us a first world internet country, he's going to come storming in here and turn us into utopia.
Who is that?
I wouldn't want to live in utopia. It's pretty,
you're going to have to tell me who Peter Thiel is.
Peter Thiel has invested in. What did he buy?
Peter Thiel was the founder and then the CEO of PayPal.
He's the
unofficial leader of the PayPal mafia. He's got a couple of he's in the founders fund. And then Clarium Investments, and they started a company called Valar.
What do you call them, a super limited angel? Partner?
Oh god damn it! These show notes are going to be insane.
And I should just throw out URLs. It's fantastic. And all three of those are investment companies, but Valar looks at New Zealand only. So he and his team are fans of New Zealand, what's going on, and that's pretty exciting.
I think it's amazing regulatory environment, and you know, it's we're forward thinking and modern and libertarian, and
I feel like that's scary. Is that actually even true? I think there's a lot of perception and not much reality.
I've lived in a bunch of places, and we've got a really good here, let me tell you. By the way, Peter Thiel's biggest claim to fame after PayPal was first investor in Facebook.
Right.
So if you watch the social network, you'll hear his name and you'll hear Clarium Capital.
Polar Bear Farm says he is an investor in Tesla and SpaceX as well.
If you go to Founders Fund and you look at the companies that they've invested in, you will go, holy shit.
So what? Yeah. He hit the pavement twice for New Zealand investments. Do you remember what they are? I'm trying to remember.
Zero.
Oh, zero. So, zero.
So $4 million, I think, into zero. And
something else recently.
I think there's only two so far. But those guys are out there and looking and very keen on the country. And I think there's some great opportunities here that we're pretty much ignored by that level of investor. And those guys are really smart to get in here.
There's a bit of a challenge going on at the moment, because you've got Crown Fiber Holdings running around looking for specific examples of reasons for them to put in super fast fiber. They're asking for examples of, you know, internal New Zealand network usage.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got people like Bernard Hickey saying we should be going the opposite way and exporting everything, basically doing stuff here and using something like Pacific Fibre to export it out.
Mm-hmm.
So
you need to do them both. So you need to have a really good ecosystem in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we get really smart about what to do with this high-speed stuff. And people develop little companies and they turn into really big companies. Mm. And that's what what it's for. It's,
right.
Yeah, there are billions of dollars of economic value sitting on the table here that we need to capture. And if you want more on that, just head on to the New Zealand Institute, where you'll find a report on all that stuff.
I love those guys.
Yeah.
New Zealand Institute is so great.
No, they did some really good thinking. And, you know, they've actually helped change society, I think, and policy.
Fantastic.
It's been suggested in the chat room by Farhan Satter that free NZ bandwidth for all Kiwis, that's what we need. Real Kiwis, though, presumably, Ben.
Only
am
real
I right?
Kiwis, yeah. With a name like Farhan Satter, you can't be.
You've got to sound like Scott or Smith.
That's going to make our revenue model pretty tough. But if you're willing to pay for everyone in New Zealand to have it, then let's talk.
All right.
Yep.
That's fantastic, Lance. Thank you so much for all your insights. How late do we want to run on this show, Morgan?
As late as possible. Can we make this the longest show ever?
If you need to leave at any point, just stand up and leave and we'll edit it out.
Right.
But we have a lot of other stuff to talk about after that.
I would just like to thank Chris Keel for tweeting that the show is up and running. And thank you for leaving my name out of your tweet, you fuck. I'm sorry, I meant the first bit. Thank you.
You'll be in the
and the second bit, you fuck.
You'll be in the NBR tomorrow. We're saying things like that.
No, I won't.
A shout out to Chris. Actually, he's been absolutely awesome for the telecom industry and the dot-com industry and, you know, all the tech industry and I mean, it was simply stunning reporting over the last couple of years. And the reason I subscribe to the NBR.
Yeah, absolutely, me too. And the you know, because I say Chris and
you
the
subscribe,
NBR.
Do you, Ben?
Well, there's a reason I use it a lot.
Right.
I should.
You're not a subscriber.
I really should, but right. But I use it a lot. But I like it because it's sort of one of the only places in New Zealand I think is doing proper real journalism these days.
Yeah.
I mean, there are other places that are doing it, but if you compare it to the Herald or the you know the Sunday Times, they're actually doing some good stuff. And then you've got Barry Coleman running around saving half decent buildings as well, which is great.
Yeah. What's that about? Does he love architecture or something?
I think he just understands
that
you can't just go and fucking knock these things
down.
Are
they actually very special? The thing about Art Deco is they tend to be dark. They need modification, certainly.
Because we lived in St. Helier's, well, we actually looked at renting one of those places, ironically. This is years ago, right. 10 years ago, and it was dark inside. They had small windows and that sort of stuff. But it is... I don't know if they need to specifically be saved, but at least people need to stop and think about it. Maybe. I think that's important. That's what Barry Coleman's doing. Is he's funding the appeal. So you know, it's at least the right.
Sorry, I'm distracted. Yeah. While we've been on, I missed the end of an auction on TradeMe that I really wanted to win.
What?
and I was blown out of the fucking water. God damn it!
If you want to win the auction, put your best price up.
Scribes, yeah. Awards.
I put over twice what the price had previously been. They were all fucking, you know, penny anteing, and so I destroyed them all. But now someone's coming.
So auction theory is pretty simple. I sat inside Tommy for a while and did this sort of stuff. But the auction theory is, no matter which auction system you use, the second highest price is usually the final price.
Yeah.
So what you should do is put your price that you would ultimately pay on the top, and you'll end up paying the second highest price.
Yeah. And in this case, I wouldn't have won this because I never would have put this much in.
There you go.
What's so I'm actually. Oh, it was a glass-fronted oak bookcase.
Lovely.
Yeah. To replace these institutional pressed metal
shelves.
Who
the hell wants buys books anymore?
Me, I buy a ton of books.
If you buy a ton of books, get yourself a Kindle, man.
No.
I've saved probably thousands of dollars, actually, by getting myself a Kindle. Yeah. And I buy them from the States and
I would have thought you'd be an iPad guy.
I'm like an iPad guy too. Kindle guy.
Oh, here we go.
iPad guy.
So I'm going to get hives if I see too many Apple logos.
Amazon.com. Yeah. So another.
Hey, have you got the case?
And there's a New Zealand link you can go to, which Geekzone actually, Mauricio's got up there. Unbelievable. So you just this is the case that comes with it with that little issue that you found.
It'll eventually crash it.
Yeah, but I'll just paint it, right? but no, it's transformational. It changes the way how much you read and how you read. And you can read that on your Kindle or your iPhone or your iPad or your computer or whatever.
Yeah, I've got the Kindle app on my Windows Phone 7 and I use that quite a lot.
Right. Windows Phone, does it work?
It does. Chris B made a good point. He said, in Auckland we've smashed up so many brilliant old buildings that now we've gone too far the other way and try and save things that maybe don't need to be saved. It's probably quite true. There's sort of a bit of a reaction to people knocking anything down.
I guess the thing is that we've let some beautiful buildings that needed to be saved be destroyed already. And some of the things we're left with are actually not that exciting.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's the last stuff.
Yeah.
So now what?
And also, someone asked me opinions on Luke Chandler. Luke Chandler's my super hater that I ended up blocking. He's probably the only person I've blocked on Twitter. And
super hater?
Yeah, that's all I'll say.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never had a super hater.
Better go and follow him.
So that's all I'll say about that. Yeah. What else have we got in the news today?
We've got all kinds of news. Do we want to do it?
Yeah. I think maybe before, we've got lots of people watching, and we offended a hell of a lot of people over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We offended gays. We offended Brisbaneites.
Are we going to do some apologies?
Oh, no. I think we're
going to double down, are you?
Yeah. We are. Because I think, you know, the only thing is we're equal opportunity assholes. So as long as we continue to offend hetero white males, I think we'll be all right.
Is that true?
So if the chat room can come up with fucked things that hetero white males have done recently, that should be pretty hard to do.
Almost every rape.
I'm part of that oppressed 40-year-old, 40-ish-year-old white male kind of minority. And I feel our time has come,
Stand up and be counted.
I think so,
So, but I would say around the Brisbane floodings and the Auckland floodings, there's been a lot of hysteria.
Yeah.
Hysteria about floods and global warming. Actually, I think Chris B in the chat room made a point about it. He on Twitter, if he's the same Chris B, about the fact that people actually live on floodplains.
Yeah.
And they're called floodplains for a reason.
Yeah.
And we actually live on a planet that has in third form geography, did you study the water cycle where you get evaporation and then it rains and then it runs down to the water and evaporates again?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2010, according to a report, I think I saw yesterday, 2010, hottest year on record. Congratulations, global warming deniers. The climate is changing. Do something about it, or we're going to continue to see more and more floods, and they're going to get more and more epic.
But but there's places that won't flood.
Yeah, there's places that will get incredibly dry.
Yeah.
Yep. So what, you choose to live right between those two spots?
Yeah, move around. I guess
and the very small habitable region that we'll be left with.
There's places like Bangladesh, which are entirely flat and flood prone.
Yeah.
Do you think this could see they might say, hey, it's okay to build houses on Mount Eden and One Tree Hill now?
I hope not.
We've got because of floods.
Yeah, you know, high ground.
Is our problem really going to be floods? My building, my office, is heritage listed, and we actually suffered a bit of flood damage, but it was just because there's heavy rain came through the roof. Fire service had to drill holes in the ceiling, the beautiful old plaster ceiling, to let the water through. What a bastard. But that said, we didn't have sharks swimming in the main street, and that's what they did have in Brisbane. When I was talking about Brisbane last week, I think I started, did I start to apologise for something that you had said, Ben? But then I just made everything much worse.
Yeah, possibly.
I didn't mean to say that Brisbane, you know, didn't matter to the people in Brisbane. The floods there didn't matter to the people there. What I really meant, all I meant was that there are other worse disasters around the world which need your support before a disaster in a wealthy nation. That's all I meant. And the sharks, Jesus Christ, you don't need to see sharks swimming around outside the McDonald's. You don't need to be able to kayak through a McDonald's.
And giant crocodiles.
But floods, like you say, floods happen everywhere.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there were very few deaths, really. Okay, everyone's is a tragedy for the family, but, you know.
Let's bring it down a bit.
Yeah. And now what did we say about the gays? I don't know that we said anything that harmful about the gays. And by we, I mean you weren't even here.
I'm
happy to share the blame with you.
I don't know. I think it's again, white hetero guilt, where whenever I make a joke that includes gays or women or anything, I feel bad about it afterwards.
I think Morgan's biggest issue is that he doesn't have any gay friends.
I don't have any gay friends. So I think technically that means I'm not allowed to make gay jokes.
Right, because you can't say some of my best friends are gay.
Exactly. I can't use that bullshit old line.
You could,
what you want to do
could
is
try it out.
Go to Urge or somewhere and just find yourself some friends.
It's interesting how many bigots have all these good friends that are gay. I stole that line from Dan Savage. Check the show notes from episode 14. You'll see it there.
Now, there was another debate that went on Twitter recently that I saw you particularly hoeing into about a guy who got put in jail.
I just disagreed with a friend of mine. He got put in jail for 28 days for contempt of court for calling a judge a cunt.
Right.
Good.
And I think that it was appropriate that he be punished. Now, I mean, maybe you can argue that 28 days is harsh. I say do it.
Yeah.
There are very few places in, you know, our modern liberal society. I'm using that, you know, liberal in a very certain meaning of the word, yeah. Where very strict standards of behaviour are required. Yeah.
Yes.
A court is one of them.
That's
a judge, yeah. their job is... gives them the right to put people in jail following the law.
Yeah.
Right? And I had a friend argue that no single person should have that authority. But judges have that authority. They can do that, right?
Yes.
They can put people in jail.
That's the point I made. Is there if there's one place in society that is required, there is a required level of respect, it's a court.
Yes.
When you look at how poorly people behave in Parliament... on podcasts. What? Connection to server lost?
Really? This still all right. Sounds all right.
No, it's okay. It was just the chat room. But yeah, so court, I think, is the last bastion of the ultimate arbiter of basically how do you relate to each other in a democratic society?
Yep.
So I think it is okay for the judge to slap someone down for that.
Yep. This went down in... was it Tauranga?
Gisborne.
It was in Gisborne.
Gisborne.
Judge Adine, Tony Adine, didn't like being called a cunt. Fair enough. So he put James Kennedy Grant in jail. Sucked in, Jim. It's kind of a non-story to me because it just seems appropriate. Harsh, but fair, if you know what I mean.
Dylan's saying in the chat room it wasn't his argument. It wasn't quite my argument.
All right, Dylan. Do you think we should get him on Skype and then he can give us his argument? Because right. at the moment, we just all agree on this.
The length of the sentence, he thought that was harsh. And I think he also didn't like that the judge seemed to have been having a bad week. And this was like, right, I've had it.
No, but that's not what he said. He didn't say he had had a bad week. He said that the behaviour in the court had been bad that week. And so he was sending a message, right? It's not like, my wife left me and my dog died and someone pissed on my car tyre. It wasn't that. It was the behaviour has been consistently bad and I'm going to put a stop to it by grabbing someone. And that is something that we do in our justice system. Mm. We set examples.
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. Yeah, no, I'm going to get you on, Dills.
He can't Skype, he says. So we'll move on.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Move on. We all agree.
It's because he's using a Windows 7 phone,
isn't
it? No,
look, you don't fuck with judges. So my example...
Absolutely. Don't fuck with judges.
Judge Harvey, who is a guy who's... setting a lot of the policy on the copyright and the
name suppression stuff, right? So yeah, he was fantastic last year at R versus Internet, which is this Internet New Zealand sponsored event, and you know he was really smart. He got the issues. There are a few things online that he didn't get, but he got really fast. But the one thing that I came out of that was I asked him a cheeky question, and man, you do not want to ask a judge a cheeky question, right? And he's a judge,
yeah.
And that, you know, they're in a courtroom and they've got the power to put you behind bars. So behave yourself.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah. And there are different ways to misbehave. And some, I mean, I would say that if a phone went off in the court, which is something that would be pretty sternly frowned upon.
Chuck them out.
Don't put them in jail. Call a judge a cunt.
Yeah.
I think you should. I mean, even if it's just overnight, I think just getting kicked out, it doesn't seem sufficient.
What was interesting is that he actually made the guy come back on Monday.
Right.
Right? So it wasn't like him, like, I'm going to throw you in jail right now because you annoyed me. He's like, no, I'm going to give a considered hearing and then I'm going to sentence you and so on and so forth. So he actually was really smart about that, the judge.
Yeah. And it definitely is expected of them that they give things due consideration.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I think that Dylan... I wish we could get him on Skype because I don't actually want to speak for him. But I think he said that it should have been another judge in the case of a contempt of court. The judge who experienced the contempt should not be the one that judges the person that, you know, allegedly performed the contemptuous act.
Well, no longer allegedly. It's
Well, no, if you're fact, if a judge,
I'm talking about hypothetical situations.
If a judge accuses you of contempt, you should see a judge.
Can you get that cable out from under your foot? You're going to pull the mixer off the desk.
Yep. Fantastic. Is your website up yet?
Oh, I haven't looked. I don't really care because we've got so many viewers anyway. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Let's see. Is it? I think it's probably not. I didn't actually want to know that. Thanks for bringing me down, asshole.
Now, so the another thing you posted, Lance, you posted a survey that Bernard Hickey was running about Phil Goff's new tax plan, saying what do people think of Phil Goff's new tax plan? And the first three responses were I should outline this. Was that the first $5,000 of every person's income should be tax-free. It sounds like an interesting idea. And he was going to make up the $1 billion-odd difference by cutting down on tax evasion and putting in a new high tax rate.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That sounds fair.
Sounds fair. Apparently some...
Don't a lot of countries do that?
Well, someone's crunched the numbers on it and said he's talking out of his ass.
That's no good then.
Yeah. That's the problem.
It's got to be reality.
We're actually pretty good at... tax evasion. We're pretty good at tax evasion in New Zealand. The IRD does a pretty good job. We've got a very simple tax system, and it's actually one of the most efficient around, especially GST. It's very efficient tax. Efficient's a good word in tax because it means you pay less tax and you spend less time worrying about it. What Gough's talking about isn't evasion of taxes. Evasion means you're breaking the law. Yeah. Right? It's avoidance of taxes, which means you're not breaking the law by, you know, using the law.
This is what people call tax minimization, right?
Right.
And we all know that that's code.
Yeah. So why isn't this? Come out and say, we're going to screw everybody that's bought a house.
Right? I like the sound of that.
That's what he's doing. And it's fair enough, right? It's a second house or third house or 15th house. If you're an investor and you bought a house in the middle of the boom, you know what? It was, you knew you were gambling, right? You're absolutely gambling. And... Yeah. But you can't change the rules on someone halfway through the game. That's also fair. So you can't put people into bankrupt.
That's a good point. Yeah. So if someone's leveraged to the hilt and then you go and tip them over the edge, then that sucks.
Yeah. But you know, the top tax rate thing is, so that's the one side of it. We're going to give $5,000 free of tax. I love that. I actually think $5,000 free of tax isn't enough.
Yeah.
In the States, it's much higher than that. Believe it or not.
But the thing is,
it's not worth collecting the tax from those guys.
When I was a student filing my tax returns, wasn't there a special box you ticked if you were under 9,000 and then you got a big rebate anyway?
Yeah, it's a long time since you're a student, right? But you're right. Paying tax in New Zealand is really easy. You've got on PRYE. You don't have to do anything. It's fantastic. Yeah. The other side of this thing was we're going to make the rich pay more tax.
Yeah.
The problem with that is that the rich... don't earn lots of income. Their trusts earn income.
That was Sam Morgan's point, wasn't it?
That's Sam Morgan's point. And, you know, he'll donate his income to charity and therefore, you know, doesn't pay tax on it. So the rich, the wealthy, the people have money, they don't earn money necessarily.
Yeah.
So how do you figure that one out? And where's capital gains in all of this? So yeah, it's not that simple.
There's an article this week, the Demographia International Housing Affordability Survey, which looked at 325 cities and regions, classed Auckland, Christchurch, Wellington and Tauranga as severely unaffordable, and one of the worst places to be a house buyer, certainly a first home buyer in the world, less affordable, Auckland, than New York City.
Wow.
So there is something wrong with our market. I mean, there's a lot of New Zealand land which doesn't seem to be very full.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, no, everyone tries to move to Auckland. We've set limited boundaries. We've got lots of low-density property. And so, I mean, there's a whole lot of things that need to change to fix that.
Tons of feedback in the
But capital gains might be...
The last thing we need is more people living further away from the centre of Auckland.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? It's yeah. a Unless clusterfuck had, as it is. If you live in Auckland and you don't walk to work or cycle to work, you're an idiot.
Yes.
Right? Because you're spending most of your time in the morning in traffic.
Ben, you're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
I walk to work.
No, if you take the ferry, that's okay as well.
But or the train, if you're lucky enough to live near one.
Or the train.
But people could live further away if we had a more functional transit network.
Right. So, and what's interesting about Auckland is that everyone doesn't come into the centre and then go out again. People go all over the place. Yeah. So it's not that easy to
build a transport. And often by going through the middle.
Yeah.
All at the same time.
Yeah. So what we need, I mean, when you talk about, you know, it's a land issue, that's a real estate developer feeding you a line saying we need more land. It's not the land that's holding us up here.
Yeah.
Right? It's a bunch of stuff. But the biggest issue isn't so much people versus houses. It's that we've got a bloody housing bubble.
Yeah.
Right? And that's, you know, all sorts of things that we could go on about for hours.
And it seems like Bernard nothing can burst it.
Yeah.
You
know? And the bubble needs to
burst.
I listened to the latest...
Nothing can burst our fucking bubble.
The latest Planet Money podcast, right, which you should listen to. It's the second best podcast in the world.
Yeah.
Talks about Estonia, I think it is, one who's just about to become part of the EU.
Yeah.
And they followed the EU's rules strictly about no borrowing, they had to get their debt ratio down, all this sort of stuff. And they had a 19% GDP loss during the recession, but they are in a better position than just about every other European country apart from Germany.
Right.
Because they let their bubble pop. And no one else is doing it. It's,
From Chris Keel in the chat room. Thanks, Chris. It's an article on NBR. It's a free article. NZ Monorail Startup gets $1 million from Google.
What? When?
Awesome.
It's not a current article, is it?
It's not April the 1st. It's September 2010. So it's not very long ago. Looks awesome.
I think that they're peddling. In the Post today.
I don't think it's real.
They were talking about the future of the Wellington region and suggesting one of the suggestions is building housing developments near train stations.
So I think directly over train stations.
Directly over train stations. Like you are literally living at Porirua train station.
Fucking subway. Subway is where it's at.
And that happens in so a bunch of friends of mine in DC, Washington, DC. They lived in Virginia. And you get out of the train and they'd go either, you know, across the road into an apartment block or complex.
Through the mall.
Surrounded by those train stations with those apartment things. Yeah.
Anyone who's playing unofficial discourse, bingo, I'm about to make a Japan reference. I mean, there are numerous occasions when we'd get out of the subway and we would be in a building. We didn't then walk up to the surface and then walk into a building, although that happened often as well, but we'd be in a building already. You know, we could take a train to the airport. For some reason, we can't do that here. It's too hard to build a fucking bit of track to the goddamn airport from Onehunga. It's not very far.
Same in Montreal. You go into the subway there and you pretty much always land in the city. You always land inside a building.
Is Montreal the one where there's large networks, like from building to building, there are tunnels, so you never have to go outside?
That was
it gets so cold.
Because it's so effing cold. Yeah. When I stayed in Montreal, I was there for 6 months, I saw minus 40 and plus 40. And so you can actually, you know, in the winter,
that's
you can basically stay underground. Yeah, serious weather, but they can deal with it, right?
Yeah.
Nigel makes a good point about public transport in Auckland, which is the new tram project going around the middle of fucking nowhere in the viaduct.
Yeah.
And
Can I talk about that?
And they can't.
Yeah. Oh, please.
They've got the wrong trams. They have to put poles
on. How long can you talk about it for? Can you talk about it for about 45 seconds?
Well, sure. So I actually chatted to one of the guys inside AucklandWaterfront.co.nz and it's owned by the city council, and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on out there, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's a big glass building being built across from the viaduct. There's a bridge that they're building in that's going to, I think, fold,
and so boats can come in and out. And the plan, the dream, would be to actually put rail across that bridge, light rail,
right,
all the way through to Britomart.
Right.
Right, that would be the dream. The tram itself goes from that new glass events building, which is pretty spectacular. You should get down and have a look at it.
Is that being built again in time for the Rugby World Cup? Or?
It's the due date on the sign outside says August, but those guys are moving fast.
Where is it? Because I just drove around there this morning.
It's where the Monday old morning. America's Cup, New Zealand America's Cup building was.
I drove around the tank frame area, and it's just a bomb site.
So if you drive around the tank farm, keep driving around, and then sort of drive around it again, I guess, the next loop, right? And you'll see it.
Okay.
So it's some pretty spectacular stuff, and there's a bunch of restaurants and cafes going in just near there. And so what the tram will do is take you around from where Vodafone and
Microsoft
are, and Pacific Fibre is down there too, all around up to the event centre and around across the front of those restaurants by the tank farm and then back.
Right.
It's pretty cool. Okay. It's a loop.
So it's just a loop around the because that will eventually be park and apartments and that sort of stuff down there as well.
That's, it's actually some pretty cool development going on there, in both a centre of food and stuff, but also apartments and a few office buildings and stuff like that.
And someone on the chat room makes my point, which is sick of the World Cup. It seems everything is in time for the Rugby World
Cup. You're sick of it now? How sick of it are you going to be in 8 months?
Everything is being built in time for the Rugby World Cup. What happens when the Rugby World Cup arrives and
we lose. What I love about the waterfront thing is that nobody fucking knows about it, whereas this stupid party centre was a huge hue and cry, whereas and meanwhile the doers have quietly got off and started building this thing out over there, which nobody sees. Mm. And that, I think, is super cool.
Someone's asked if we can bring the All Blacks into this as a topic into this talk. No, we can't, because I don't think either of us are authorities on sport in any way.
I don't know if I could even name a single All Black. Is Merton still an All Black?
Sonny Bill Williams.
Who is that? What was his name? Goldie, the guy that played cricket as well? Is he still an All Black? What was that guy that did the Georgia Buy ads? Buck Shawford? Is he an All Black still? Zin Brook?
Hang your heads in shame is quasi New Zealanders. you need to brush up on this stuff.
John Olomu, he's an All Black, right?
We'll have enough of it.
Yep.
No, I do actually watch the All Blacks. I quite like a good All Blacks game, but I don't know whether I can analyse our chances. I feel like we've peaked too early, like we do every other time.
Well, we are the best team in the world. We are the team that everybody wants to beat. They turn up to us to play us in the World Cup, quarters, semis, and finals, because the first round doesn't matter. So we crush everyone in the group rounds, get to the quarterfinals, and here you are.
And here you are, Ben. Food poisoning.
Here you are, Ben. It's your one chance in your life to beat the All Blacks at the World Cup, right? And you and your teammates throw everything you can at us, and we win. And then the next team does the same, and the next team. We've got to beat them four times in a row. So it's not just you've got to get to the next round, it's that it's the All Blacks, the best team in the world.
Yeah.
And that's our problem, is that, you know, we've got to be not just better than everyone else, but a massive whole pressure. Heap load better than everyone else.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Fantastic.
I wish I'd been here for that discussion of whatever's going on down at the waterfront, because I am deeply interested in that. But the head cannot have what the bladder does not want. I'm going to listen to it on the podcast. It's going to be wonderful.
Haven't heard much from Wellington.
Yeah, what's happening?
Yeah, what's going on with Wellington?
I can talk about. Actually, I don't know anything about public transport. It's all happened.
Has anyone died since they opened up that closed square to the buses?
Closed square?
Yeah.
Manners Mall.
Manners Mall.
Yeah.
Manners Mall with a U.
So
that's going fine. Another person got hit, but...
Still haven't learned to look both ways, eh?
Yeah.
In industry, we call these near misses, near miss is a technical term for somebody could have died.
Yeah.
And if you've had four or five of these things in a row, you fucking chain someone before someone fucking dies.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is really serious. Someone's going to die. If you hit five people, someone is going to die. And on any industrial site, it's a clear warning sign.
Mr. Whippy Bells on every bus while it drives through that area.
And the barriers, barricades. Is saying Manners Mall sucks. I want to know, is he an emo? Did he used to hang out there outside the Spacey's parlour?
I can't even remember. I can't even remember Manners Mall. It's been that long since I've been down there.
So I was down in Wellington for 2 days, and I saw Robin. And I had actually had a beer at whatever the place was. It's right on Manners Mall.
Yeah,
Pollux.
Pollux. It's in the Opera House building. Yeah. It's quite nice.
And I was, you know, we were watching the buses go past. I can't understand. I guess it's people on autopilot who are used to the previous layout. Is that what it is?
On mic, Ben.
The one-way layout?
Yeah, it's probably a bit of that, but it's probably, I think yeah. you've got to put it down to poor design. Yeah. So you can change people's behavior over time, but if people are walking into a bus, there's a systematic problem with the physical infrastructure and or the decision to put buses there that you've got to fix.
Could be put them underground. Why do they need to be on the same surface
As a green verge between the footpath. The footpath goes straight to the curb. If you put a grass verge down there so people had to walk over the grass to get onto the road, maybe?
I don't think they're allowed grass. Probably something controversial here, right? Yeah. Why the hell can't Queen Street in Auckland look like the Main Street in Hamilton?
What does that look like?
Yeah. It's awesome.
Is it?
It's absolutely awesome. I couldn't believe it, eh? There's a big island in the middle. There's big wide footpaths. There's verandas over the top of the footpaths. It's a really nice place. It just feels comfortable to walk around in Hamilton, for goodness sake.
Because they didn't have any development in the 80s.
Well, they got a really wide street, and that helps. But basically, right. They said cars, you're secondary over pedestrians. You're there, but you're still secondary.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah. And so Queen Street, they could take a big lesson.
I think just no... no.
It's not the main road.
No cars
the
on
problem
Queen Street.
With Hamilton, and I can talk about this with a little bit of authority, all the Victoria Street, the main street, used to be where all the shops were. Then in the 80s and 90s, all these malls were sort of built a block back and all the actions moved there. So Victoria Street's kind of died a bit, and they've done this. It's one of those main street beautification programs, and it's still a bit dead. I mean, it looks really nice and it's lush, but it's, I think Queen Street would benefit from something like that. I mean, you've got Albert Street.
Queen Street's a shitload better than it used to be. I walk down there at lunchtime most lunchtimes. And now, at a busy lunchtime, the thing is that it gets so clogged up and the pedestrian crossings buzz so often that you can pretty much walk anywhere as a pedestrian on Queen Street.
That's right. The pedestrian crossings, and it's annoying as hell if you're in a vehicle.
Yeah,
pedestrian crossings go every cycle. So cars go north-south, and then the pedestrians cross. Cars go east-west, and then the pedestians cross again.
Because that was a change in the last couple of years, because prior to that cycle.
I mean, driving in Auckland is no wonder people are such horrible drivers here in terms of their aggressiveness. It's such a frustrating experience to drive here that you just end up going mad. So there's two problems that need to be fixed, and you know, you need to separate the traffic from the people, and then you can pedestrianise some areas and so on. And what's cool about Auckland now is that finally you've got one outfit that's responsible for this stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the problem you've had for so long.
I'm loving the vibe I'm getting from that outfit as well. Like basically, previously, if someone had talked about a subway and got slapped down, it would have gone away. But now they talked about it, got slapped down, and come back and said, no, fucking subway. And that's the first thing I've seen, and I like it. That's great.
Yeah. Also, the new signals on Queen Street with the timers and the pedestrian cycle twice as often as the car cycle.
And the countdown timer.
So nice for pedestrian. Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, only a little bit more inconvenient for cars, but so much better for pedestrians.
Yeah,
so much better.
Yeah.
We've got a comment from Chris B in the chat room. God, it's gone all way up. People getting hit on Manners Mall should be considered chlorinating the gene pool. Also,
ouch.
If you can't avoid getting hit by a giant bus-sized yellow object, then fuck you.
Yeah, so you might be on your iPhone or maybe your Windows 7 phone when you're walking.
What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly. When you're walking and you know, just like that woman on YTube the other day who walked into a...
It was brilliant.
And that was fucking dangerous because that thing was knee-high, right, and it was full of water. And the thing is, those guys and this woman just basically on the phone just walked into this fountain. It's scary to look at because what you see is a video of the video with people watching it. And the guys say, is there water on there today? Which means yesterday there wasn't water on there and she would have broken her head. And that, you know, again, this is industrial site experience. You find that stuff funny until you work on a site where people would actually die. And people will die in those sort of situations.
It's terrible and bizarre when you think about how many buildings actually have blood in their foundations, right? So when we were building the Sky Tower.
Add strength, you know.
A couple of people die, right?
Yeah.
To build a fucking hotel.
Yeah.
What? A casino. There are dead people thanks to working on that building. What? And then people will still complain about OSH. Trying to have some minimal level of safety.
And there's actually a good initiative now that I think John Key launched last year. Just you need to look it up, but Zero Harm.
It's called, and basically there is no reason to accept any injury on these sorts of things.
Yeah.
And you save money if you don't.
Yeah. So. Well, you don't need to train new staff.
Yep. And people want to work there, right? People
and you don't like need to go pay off families.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Should we look at giving this a deadline so that we don't go on all night?
I don't care about going on all night.
When do you need
what you can do is you can actually, when you put it up there, you can actually put everyone on fast forward. So we're very special.
We'll be finished before Duke Nukem Forever is out, though.
Oh, I don't know. May is a long way away. So much can happen. Where's my tab? So May the 3rd of this year.
I can't believe they've set a date. Did they set a date once before? A long time ago?
Once before? I thought people paid for pre-orders in like 2000.
Yeah.
Right, I think, was this announced before the first Half-Life?
Yeah, way before.
Not even Half-Life 2.
No.
Not Half-Life Episode 1 or Episode 2, but before the first Half-Life.
Had they set a release date?
Yes.
Ahead.
Previously, yes, absolutely. And now we've got a new release date, and we've also got a trailer. And honestly, I mean, I'm going to buy the shit out of this game. If it's got multiplayer, I'm probably going to buy two copies so I can play with Sting Machine and blow the fuck out of her, because she's not very good at first-person shooters.
It was originally announced in 1997.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah,
and the first Half-Life was 1998,
that's
right?
That's a long time ago.
The Duke Nukem 3D was 1996, so this is a sequel to that. That I think,
yeah.
It's
come get some.
I remember reading Slashdot back in 2000 or 1999 or something, and this was the running joke back then.
Yeah,
and here we are, 10 years, 11 years later.
My abiding memory of Duke Nukem 3D was I lived in a flat with a bunch of people, and we had a network, ten base T, is it?
Lovely.
The
we had to have a loop.
The coax
with Terminators and so on.
Terminators and all that sort of stuff. And we actually, one of the guys in the flat built a Duke Nukem 3D level replica of the flat.
Right.
And we would play Deathmatch in our flat. And there were things like you could jump out the toilet window, there was a jetpack in the garage. And the thing was, after you played that for 4 hours and you stood up and turned around, you would have this cognitive dissonance moment where your walls weren't the same texture as the walls in Duke Nukem 3D, and you didn't have a shotgun in your hand. It was quite freaky.
I'm about to do something dangerous.
Who wants some?
All right, the levels are all right. Okay.
It's time to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of gum.
It's so bad.
It's so bad when I get into the sound effects. Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to the game. I think there's going to be some more tits.
Yeah.
There's going to be some more pissing.
Mm-hmm.
I like games where you can piss. Did you ever play Postal 2?
No.
Great game. So fun.
Pretty much.
Horrible. The levels, like the map areas, were really small, and so you had to have constant reload points. But the game itself was brilliant. You could run around, you could piss. You could piss in people's mouths, and once you got an STD from, I don't remember how you got, and Gary Coleman was in it, and you could stick a cat on the end of your weapon and use that as a cat silencer, and you could get wasted and everything slowed down if you got super wasted.
That sounds
such a fun game. Not very good for kids.
No.
You could set people on fire and have them run around screaming until you pissed them out. Once you had an STD and you pissed in people's mouths, they'd start vomiting uncontrollably.
What?
I mean, this game, completely, I mean, just insane, but so hilarious.
So I'm going to attempt to bring a little more sanity to this. If you're into games and you're into the internet and you're into business, and then you should buy Reality is Broken, which is the new book by Jay McGonigal, who was at Webstock last year, and it's subtitled Why Games Make Us Better and How They Change the World. And it came out on...
Oh, this is game theory stuff applied to the real world?
Games. So games, all the things that make games cool, right? How can you apply... Like, when you play a game...
Oh, she made, like, alternate reality games, right? Like, I Love Bees?
Exactly, things like that. But things like... When you're playing some game like World of Warcraft, and I don't play this stuff because I know I'll get addicted to it, people go and spend 500 hours to level up.
Yeah.
Right? And it's basically work.
Yeah.
And they're not getting paid for it. And why the hell do they do that? And why the hell isn't your own work, your real work, is fun?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the question she poses. And I bought it the other day on the Kindle. I've read it.
Dear listeners, I'm going to put a link to buy that in the show notes, and it will have an affiliate code on it. And if you do that, you will still pay fuck all for it, but we will make 2 cents. And that 2 cents will go some way towards paying I don't even know what that'll pay for. Nothing. But just do it. Just for me.
Someone in the chat room said, is everyone here going to Webstock in February?
No, yes.
Lance, is you are
excellent
Morgan?
Question. I certainly am.
Fantastic.
And to the Onyas.
Ryan,
I'm not going to the Onyas because motherfuckers blackballed my ass.
That's what I said last year. I ended up buying a last minute ticket and sitting at the back.
Right.
You sat at the back of the naughty table with me because I bought a ticket too.
And we moved the table forward ever so slightly through the show. Except there was one person that didn't like that, wasn't there?
Yeah, I think someone got grumpy about it. Yeah.
So Ben is actually in the Onyas for personal content.
Best personal content.
Yeah.
Are you going?
Yeah, I'll be going to the Onyas.
Discourse was not shortlisted for best content personal.
No.
Motherfuckers.
But if everything falls into place in the ways we hope it will fall into place,
this is exciting.
Maybe a live discourse record on the afternoon before the Onyas.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And we don't know yet. Oh, God, it's so hard to confirm. Because I don't want to waste any of the Webstock organizers' time. There's a chance they can get us a room in the town hall. But I think it's only a small chance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we'll find a room.
We've been offered
a hotel room at the Duxton.
Sure. Wherever. Anywhere. it'll be nearby.
Yeah.
We will try and get everyone drunk in advance of the Onyas, and then we'll send you off in plenty of time to put on your monkey suit or come wearing your monkey suit.
Yeah.
And if it happens, I think it's going to be a complete blast.
It's also
got some exciting things planned.
You got word camp happening at the same time.
I'm gutted about that. I'm going to try and make it along, but it's tough. I mean, I've got dozens of WordPress sites, and it's going to be difficult to make the time to go, and I really want to go.
Yeah, it's a tough week, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty full on. I went to the first Wellington WordCamp they had, and it was really, there's always something you're going to get out of it. And, you know, you don't have to stay for the whole time. But so that's definitely worth going to if you use WordPress.
Yeah, and if your server's up so you can actually use it. who wants to put some money on whether or not the site's going to be back before the live show finishes recording?
Dreamhost,
it's not back yet.
So pro tip for wannabe WordPress people: just use WordPress.com.
Yeah, that might be.
It never
that
goes
might be
down.
Fair. Yeah. Yeah, that might be fair. But do they give you SSH?
No. And that's why it never goes down.
Right, that might be right. I think there might be some monkeyness involved. Actually, with the Dreamhost problems,
Nigel pointed out that I'm also part nominated for My Tours, which Lance is part nominated for as well. Best mobile app, My Tours.
Did you work on that?
The Windows Phone 7 port of it, which has probably sold about, I don't know, tens of copies.
I don't believe you. I don't believe that there are 10 in New Zealand Windows Phone 7s. So I thought it was very magnanimous of you to lend a Windows Phone 7 test phone to a friend of ours.
Dylan.
So what happened with that?
He wrote up his thoughts of it and we posted it.
Yeah? What did he think?
He thought it was not as good as Android, is that right?
Is that exactly what he said? What did he say? It was a complete steaming pile of shit.
He didn't say that.
I think he said, well, I'm paraphrasing.
Hang on, I'll bring it up. But I need to actually, listeners, I need to find someone who is non-technical, who is on XT, who might want to play with the phone.
Listeners, are you listening?
Yeah.
Do you want to put up a, let's get them to, just get them to tweet you.
Yeah.
People don't get in touch in any other way than that.
Yeah, just tweet me.
Unless there's something in it for them. Are we going to do some news?
We've done news.
What is Love Bite partially paralyzes woman?
That is freaky.
How about a little bit of this?
Yes.
Bit more than a love bite from if you read the article, I think.
Well, except, I mean, the photo, it clearly is a hickey. This is a 44-year-old woman. She got such a powerful suction on her neck from her, was it a guy? From her boyfriend, whoever it was, that it formed a clot in an artery in her neck, and she had a minor stroke from a hickey. There's something about hickeys. And there's something about this.
I don't get hickeys in the first place. I don't understand.
Again, we enter the awkward territory that we enter, given that you, as far as I know, have only in your entire life had one sexual partner. So if we spoke about this, you wouldn't even be able to pretend that you weren't talking about your wife. So basically, we have to avoid the whole thing, don't we? Now, actually getting a hickey.
No, I understand. Yeah, no.
I mean, it's just nice to have attention.
Ben. You can do it to yourself, Ben. Just
I remember trying in school, didn't everyone?
Or somewhere.
I gave myself one on my balls. I'm flexible.
It's dead silence. What is the chat room saying about this?
It probably hasn't quite gotten to them yet. There's probably about 20 seconds delay before it gets to them. Should we push the whatever the button is in radio that drops the
drops the last 12 minutes?
Next.
Next.
Oh, hello. Morgan, you're a vegetarian.
Yes.
You're not a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a vegan,
yep.
Would you permit yourself to eat cheese made from a woman's breast milk?
I guess it depends. That would depend on why I was a vegan.
Depends how old you were. If you're like, you know, under one,
yeah, it'd be totally fine.
From what I understand, and I asked a couple of my nursing mother friends whether I could have some of their breast milk to try. One of them was like, "You fucking what? Get out of my house!" Yep. Another one was like, "Yeah, I'll save some in the fridge for next time you come over," and it just never happened. And now the kids are all a little bit too old. From what I understand from the fathers who've tried it, it's not really very nice. So, I mean, I don't know if the cheese is going to be good made from that. So, if I was a vegan because I didn't want to eat anything from an animal, then I wouldn't. If I was a vegan because I didn't want to eat anything from an animal that couldn't consent, then, and the women who provided the milk had consented, then, I mean, possibly I would.
Okay.
It's a bit squicky. So I think I would probably try it.
The theory behind it,
as a non-vegan.
Miriam Simon, a New York University student, started her cheese project to challenge the idea of health ethics, natural biotechnology, and basically every socially conditioned idea in our head. She asks, if you reject all technology, modified food in favor of what is natural, how far back do we go? If we are determined to continue to enjoy our cheese, perhaps it is most natural, ethical, and healthy to eat human cheese.
Raw meat, nuts and berries, grasses. That's how far back we could go. Go really paleo. Yeah. Only things that you chase down. How about that? It would solve our overpopulation problem because, I mean, I probably couldn't chase down a gazelle, but I could chase down a person. I could kill the shit out of a person. A lion? The lion is not going to be being ate by me. Children? I'm going to be eating children every day.
You have to use your bare hands?
I say yes.
Bare feet, bare hands.
Yep.
Mm.
Yeah.
What about pasteurized breast milk that had been prepared the same way cow's milk is?
I want it all natural. I want it fresh and organic.
The problem with your chase,
I want it direct from the supplier.
The problem with your chase down theory is the number of, you know, the domestication of animals. So you can probably actually chase down, given a, you know, walk onto a farm and
like a dog. Oh, you mean like a sheep or a goat?
Yeah, you could.
But they're going to go first, aren't they?
What? Yes. What do you mean? People are going to take them first?
Yeah, because they're obvious. But there's lots of people around. I don't want to have to go to a farm. It's convenient if I just go next door to one of the neighbouring apartments and just, you know, hello, would you like to come over for dinner? Thump. Slice. Gut. Bleed. No? No. Get in there up to your elbows? No? What's the difference? Now, I actually, are you a vegetarian now, Ben?
No.
Because there's lots of animals who you can argue probably, at least on the cusp of sentience. But you probably don't eat any of them.
No.
Where was I going to, so for a long time, we think of humans, you know, we've heard of like long pork and so on. We think of humans as probably tasting like pig. I read an interview with, I think it was he was a French cannibal who killed and ate someone and was jailed for only about 10 years. And he says it actually tastes most like horse. So who wants to try horse now? I'm keen as. Not many places you can get horse in New Zealand, though.
No, mostly in France.
Horse is quite, yeah, in Europe.
Tastes a lot like human, does it, Robin? Does it taste a lot like human?
I haven't tried it.
Oh.
Human.
I think that we feed horse to our pets here, but I don't think we eat it ourselves.
I've had zebra.
You've had zebra?
Yeah.
That's like an angry horse. There's a reason we don't ride zebras.
Yeah,
it's because they're shits. Yeah. They're uppity.
Was it just beefy tasting? Or?
I can't remember. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't the world's best meat. Right. It's so probably why you don't get a lot of it.
No. Speaking of cheese.
Just hang around Manor's Mall, and every now and then, fresh meat.
Roadkill, if you think.
That was inspired by advanced option from the chat room.
Speaking of cheese, apparently there are some genetically modified or engineered jalapenos that have been designed to hold more cheese.
Oh my God, this is such a great story.
This is weird.
We've taken all of this science that we've developed over hundreds of thousands of years, ultimately, right? And instead of, you know, curing cancer, diabetes, you know, cystic fibrosis, All of these are all of these good causes. Instead, these scientists. Now, to be fair, they are from Mexico State University's Chili Pepper Institute, so maybe they're not expected to do cystic fibrosis.
Yeah.
They've hybridized a jalapeno and a keystone-resistant giant, which apparently is the name of a bell pepper, to make chilies that are huge for the express purpose that you can fill them with more cheese.
No, well, they're
poppers.
They're poppers, and it's huge. This market
poppers are delicious.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to look them up when I'm in the States.
But it's a waste of time filling them full of cheese. You should put baconese in those things for that genuine American experience, and a bit of cheese whiz too. But it's just the same as us, you know, as whoever the hell it is. You need to add the link in later. Making the different color kiwi fruit.
Yep.
The golden kiwi fruit. It's the same sort of thing. You're basically taking a perfectly good product and doing something to it so you sell more.
Yeah.
Right,
methane-free cows,
which is actually pretty awesome. Very valuable.
Yeah,
or methane-free grass or whatever the cows eat. Yeah. Who knows how that's going to work out? Yeah. But we know it's got to happen.
Yeah. Or we can stop eating so much meat.
I'm curious to look these things up now. So, what do they say there?
Poppers are horrible. Just don't touch them.
You don't like poppers? I love poppers.
Yeah,
it looks disgusting because I know I get bloody heartburn from chilies anyway. So it'd just be a nightmare.
Oh, that's sad.
I eat lots of chilies.
Right. Next story. How would you feel about having a second sun for the Earth, Ben?
I don't believe this.
Well, you don't believe this because it's actually pretty tenuous.
How could it be a supernova light up the sky as much as the sun? That's rubbish.
Because it's a fucking supernova. It's right there in the name. Super! It's like Ultraman. How can Ultraman be so much better than a normal man? Because he's Ultra, motherfucker! Do you follow my reasoning? So the story here is that Betelgeuse, or Betelgeuse, depending on how you wanna go with it, might go nova and may have already gone nova.
Right.
How many hundreds of light years away is it?
600 years ago or something?
A couple of hundred light years away?
Yeah.
But there's further evidence saying it could be 100,000 years away or a million years away.
How do they know it could have already happened. How do they know it's going to go nova?
Oh, it's something about the way it started to shed mass. So it's giving all these signs that it's about to go nova. Yeah, exactly. Which apparently is, you know, something that stars do.
So when they say two suns, they just mean you will be able to see a star in the daylight sky.
Very bright in the sky. Yeah.
Yeah, because I understand you can already see Iridium satellite. What do they call them?
The flares off the solar panels.
Yeah. I haven't seen one yet, but apparently you can see them in the daylight.
I'm going to fill the silence. If you go to Webstock and you look at the speaker notes,
they're brilliant.
They are fantastic.
I think some of them are not correct.
Well, some of them may not be quite correct just yet.
This is what Tash does, I believe.
Like Merlin is being a mime.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got Michael Kosiewski. Koz is he's going to do a show-stopping 40-minute dance tap dance routine infused with flamenco and Middle Eastern styles. Then you've got Michael Loop, who's going to do an accurate tribute to the American music icon Conway Twitty. He's apparently a profound baritone, which he's going to employ with elastic grace. It's just and then Merlin is doing a mime.
I think it started as a risk years ago when people were late in putting in their precies. And Tash or one of the organisers said, if you don't bloody send your talk, overview talk pricey through soon, we're going to make one up for you.
Right.
And it was something about ballet or tap dance or something, and now it's been a running joke. They just fill them out. And
yeah.
I love that. I like kind of human content, not corporate drone speak. Now, just final bit on this second sun. It would be brighter than Venus, but it wouldn't be as bright as the full moon. So
it's more like a second moon, don't you think?
A second small moon. That would be pretty fucking cool too. Now, what you probably have seen, you may not have seen iridium flares, but you've seen the International Space Station.
Yes,
that can be incredible. And through cloud cover, it's so bright.
How fast it is as well.
It's beautiful going over. Yeah. There's a great little website that I'll put in the show notes that tells you exactly where in the New Zealand sky it's going to be and exactly when and how bright.
The thing I'm looking sad about missing at Webstock that you have to go and see and tell me about is Peter Sund. Sunday, Peterson,
from Pirate Bay.
Yeah, really interested to see what he says.
do I want to actually talk to any of these people for discourse? Do I want to record them?
Oh, good God, if you could talk to them, that'd be fantastic.
I don't know if I can be bothered.
I can't be bothered talking to Mr. Pirate.
Oh, I want to talk to him personally. I want to go and have a drink with him. But do I want to like put a recorder out? It changes the dynamic.
What you could do is actually go to All About the Story and apply to be an intern and get a free ticket, Ben, to Webstock. You just have to write 3 articles and you need to write some nice stuff to get in there.
Yeah,
I've got a free ticket and a free to hotel and free airfares.
There you go.
I'm not going to do any of that. Yeah.
But that's allaboutthestory.com.
Yeah, I saw
that. Allaboutthestory.com. What is allaboutthestory.com?
Fucking great. For people like me who have no idea how to sell writing to papers and magazines, you go to All About the Story, log in and put up your good stories and people will buy them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's run by Julie Starr, and she's a writer and a journalist and an editor.
I recognize that name, Julie Starr.
Julie Starr.
Where do I recognize that name from?
She's big on Twitter.
Right.
She's good. She's been doing really good things, and she puts out a blog post every week with jobs in journalism, which there are always heaps of them, which surprised me because, you know, you think, oh, journalism's dead, but it's not.
Yeah. Evolving Newsroom is the name of her blog.
And she's going to be talking at WordCamp as well.
Hey, Robin, can you do a voice like a transvestite or like a man?
Right, hang on. I can do a transvestite voice. Tell me something to say.
Hello, boys.
Hello, boys.
All right. Now, if that was even more convincingly like a man, Robin would sound like Brenda Jensen. Now, this is amazing. Who has had her voice restored after 11 years through a larynx transplant? This
finally, I can talk again. I have my own voice.
I'm a terrible nag. I've only kept my relationship with my husband because I couldn't talk.
Now, I have a philosophical question about this.
Yeah.
If you have your larynx and voice box replaced with someone else's and you speak, is it your voice?
I guess she has her own voice. It's just...
Is it the same as it was before?
Yeah, I think it is, because it's just sort of like a part was replaced, but it hasn't changed her tone.
Have you played this video, Ben?
Her accent or anything.
No.
I don't know. Should I play it? Because then I think we might be able to hear what she sounds like. Yeah, but there's probably a lot of talk before it plays.
Try it.
Buffering.
You're going to take down the
stream. Come on, Brenda.
You?
Oh, upstream, downstream. BBC, apparently they need more bandwidth. Definitely on their end, not ours. So why have we got so BBC. Little international bandwidth? Won't someone do something about this? The bloody Southern Cross, the contention rate's unacceptable.
I still need a cabinet before I can even use anything like that. It's terrible. BBC are firing 300...
This wants to play an advert, so I'm not playing it.
BBC are firing 360 web staff.
And that's only saving them 25% of their cost. Yeah. How the hell have they got 360 web staff? What are those motherfuckers doing?
Is it web reporters? Or is it...
People? Why have they got web reporters and not just reporters?
Well, that's a really good question.
If you're preparing content, why differentiate?
That's a really good question. But they don't have much tech stuff offline, do they? So they're TV and radio, but not text. And so you need to have people write that shit down.
Yeah.
It's also though, and Julie Starr, interesting enough, ironically, whatever is.
Oh my God! Is wait, this is this woman.
Sorry.
Good for you. So get me out of the hospital.
I want to go home.
Speak again, Brenda.
We're a good team. How about that? Okay.
What, they couldn't make her speak on microphone? Fuck's sake.
So let me repeat that.
I want to go home.
Yeah, but you've got to put lots of vibrato in that. Yeah, it's a bit of a horror movie. It sounds like a Japanese or Korean horror film.
Yeah. So anyway, the idea is people. One newsroom,
we have heard
different content.
Years ago, okay. It's me. I have a voice.
It's a good horror story. All right, one newsroom, all the content.
One newsroom, all
publish
the content.
Publish it, some to broadcast.
Yep.
Some of it to the website, some of it to the streams.
Yep.
Some of it to the social stuff.
And we're asking a lot from journalists these days, right? They've got to be able to do all that stuff.
Yeah, but they only get paid about $20,000.
That's a problem. But the like music, it's a passion game.
Yeah.
So people don't get into journalism because they want to make a fortune.
No.
They get into it because they care.
But they're not exactly. They don't get into it because they're passionate about spelling, do they, judging by the Herald?
Or
grammar.
Or facts.
Oh, look, it's been pretty harsh. I think in New Zealand we've actually got pretty good media.
Some of it. The cream is good.
No, the
vast body of our journalists seems to be very good.
No, look, I think you're slamming the wrong people. The journos are great. The business model of the newspapers is under pressure.
Yeah.
That makes it hard for those guys. They've had to do, you know, they consolidated the subbies in the Herald.
Yeah.
That makes it tougher. But, you know, all credit where it's due. The journalists in New Zealand, I think, are a pretty damn good bunch overall, and especially compared to other countries.
Yeah.
When you say it like that, when you compare it to Fox and other crap like that, then I guess...
It's reprehensible what's happened over there. Yeah. I mean, it's just so sad.
Yeah.
It's and they've fucked their society as a result, so people actually believe that stuff.
Yeah. I'm not actually going to put any links to Fox in the show notes.
No.
Because fuck those guys.
A link to the Daily Show instead.
Actually, we can talk about is Rush Limbaugh. He's obviously quite balanced and an onto it kind of guy. When he talked about the Chinese premiere.
Ching chong ping pong. Yeah. Ping pong chow man.
He complained that Fox News...
So racist.
He complained that Fox News didn't... he said what they normally do is they normally have a few words and they translate.
Yeah.
They just let him speak for ages and he was going... Ching chong, chang, hold on, ching chong. The guy was in.
Okay, now allow me to emphasize that what Ben is doing is Rush Limbaugh, not Hu Jintao.
Can you play it?
So when he says ching chong, bing bong, that's not what Hu Jin sounded like. No. He was speaking Chinese perfectly well because it's a real language.
It is.
That doesn't go ching chong, bing bong.
No, it doesn't. He was complaining that Fox News was letting the premier talk for. Yeah, a minute.
I don't want to play his audio.
No,
fuck that fuck.
Yeah.
There's only room for one fat bastard on this show, and it's me. And to a lesser extent, Ben. Not so fat. He's on the shrink.
Is that us for a week?
Surely. Get fucked? No way. We haven't even done the word of the week.
Word of the week.
We haven't done the mailbag. We haven't finished the news. This is nowhere near our longest show.
How many hours have we gone so far?
This is only just an hour and a half.
That's short
for discourse.
Although Leighton said one thing that could spark a whole other conversation, which was speaking of terrible internet, cough Vodafone.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Vodafone Australia, I think, is...
They're in big trouble.
It's really sad, actually, what's happened over there. Yeah. I feel for these guys, and I feel for Telecom when their XT problems happened here as well.
And
there are some really smart people working in these companies trying their damnedest to build these awesome networks, and it's tough.
How much do you think?
You can't even get a website to work, and these guys are trying to get an entire network to
work. How much of it do you think is the iPhone in New Zealand? Because we know that... the funny thing is I always used to complain that you could just buy a GSM phone, it would work. So why the hell did it take so long for them to officially release Vodafone phones? And then I talked to a guy whose job it was to test these things.
Yeah.
And they do break stuff. And they do, like there was an issue with the Motorola Droid that was sending text messages to Nokias that would lock up the Nokia phones. And that's why they couldn't release it. So I wonder how much of it is the model that Apple has pushed where they will give updates to their phones... Fuck the carrier, and the carriers have to kind of clean up after.
Stay on mic, Ben.
The carriers have to.
Something's just gone. What are you doing?
Oh my god, that was me. Sorry.
Wow.
We're back.
Don't do that.
Sorry.
It's all right.
It's really alarming.
Yeah. Don't turn off the power because it switches off the mixing console.
Fantastic.
So I mean, the recorder's fine because it's on battery.
It's all good. It's all good.
That was slightly alarming. What were we saying?
We're saying how much of the issue with Vodafone is the 100,000 iPhones out there that are being updated by Apple without Vodafone having any chance to work out if it's going to work on
their
network.
They're not changing their radio, so are they? They're just changing
they do occasionally.
The other software.
They do occasionally. And there was an issue a while back with the iPhone swamping with some sort of reconnect message or something of the sort, swamping cells.
Polar Bear Farm points out that XT can cope.
I'm on XT and it's really good on the iPhone because everyone's scared of it, so there's no one on it.
SVS in the chat room says, if your carrier can't support a device using the internet, you need a new carrier.
Maybe me too kind.
Yep. Maybe iPhone 4 obviously better on Vodafone than iPhone 3.
Right.
Because of the
right frequencies.
Radios.
Yeah.
How's Windows Phone 7 on Vodafone?
That's nice. It's good. It's better than the iPhone 4 I had.
Now, what was wrong with the iPhone 4 that you had?
Just dropping calls and
just
and
the same, the normal problems. I've had unbelievable problems with iPhone on Vodafone. Yeah. Just dead calls.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre. I've never experienced it.
I had the same on XT today, actually.
So, really?
Yeah, I'm not sitting here smug either.
Maybe the short answer is actually that these networks aren't actually easy.
That's what you're saying.
Exactly. It's a hard problem to solve.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And it's also expensive to solve, probably.
Yep. And you know what? When all said and done, we've got it so much better than they have it in the States.
Some of the horror stories, aren't they?
Unbelievable. iPhones are unusable on AT&T, which is the only carrier that takes them right now.
Yep. Which is why Verizon is going to explode and their network's going to melt.
Yeah, but they've got a CDMA phone, for goodness sake. You can't do calls and data at the same time.
It's very strange to release a CDMA device in this day and age.
Yep. Yeah.
So, guess what, everybody? In a long-running series that we haven't experienced for actually quite a while, we've got a vehicle which is slow suddenly going fast. Previously, we had a ride-on mower.
Yes. And
we had a mobility scooter.
And a golf cart.
And we had a golf cart.
Yep.
And now we have a solar-powered car.
Which is...
speed record smashed by those beautiful little Aussies. The speed used to be... the record was 78 kilometres per hour, which is actually pretty nippy for solar-powered only. Mm. And now these dirty jammy buggers, they've managed to go 88 kilometres per hour, average speed... over 1 kilometre.
But it's totally...
wouldn't get you to Hamilton, would you?
It's totally impractical. They're
completely impractical.
And the size of a pancake and... well, the shape of a pancake. And
you've got to have your legs removed to fit into it.
Oh, yeah. Bar bloody humbug. You know, this stuff's changing the world.
This is the first step.
Yeah, so that's solar panel.
You need efficient panels, efficient engines. Yep. A whole lot of science is going into building these things.
I have to say, and all of it applies. I rented a car out of Wellington to drive to work tonight. And,
Was it a Toyota?
Why didn't you take the train?
I don't know.
Because he's New Zealander. He's a real New Zealander. Just look at the name, Gracewood. Sounds like a real New Zealander.
I said to work I was going to Waikanae and they booked me a car.
Our great big car, big enough for five.
Yeah. But no, I was booked in a Corolla, but they gave me a hybrid Camry, which I was... oh, cool. I didn't realise they existed. Because the Prius, you know, obviously hybrid. But it was fun. And I've driven a Prius, but the Camry was interesting because it had the big grunty engine that made it go fast. But even hammering it, I deliberately hammered it on the way back down to see how bad I could make the fuel economy. And it was still only 6.5 litres per 100, which is much better than my 2-litre car.
Well, officer, how bad I could make the fuel economy.
Yeah, did you say 6.5?
Yeah,
litres per 100. Wow, that's really good.
Well, yeah, my 2-litre car does 6.5 or 7 when I'm driving it carefully, carefully.
That's superb.
Yeah, and I guess the main reason is that we'll just turn off the engine when you...
so while we've got a complete Apple weenus in the house... Hi, Lance.
How you doing?
So I understand that you've been playing with some Dell gear lately, Ben. Microsoft MVP.
We just had a wee play with it because Dell came in to show us the CES stuff.
I played with a Dell Latitude, the latest one, all aluminium.
Yeah.
Quite lovely.
How far could
not
you
as nice
it?
As a MacBook. Really far. It's very light.
Yeah, that's superb. They're quite aerodynamic then.
Yeah. Not as far as that thing.
Yeah, no, these things...
I wouldn't throw that out.
The nice thing about this, it's solid state, and it's so robust that you could pick it
tell
up
again. Tell you what, I am so tempted to get a MacBook Air.
Yeah. They are stunning.
I haven't been tempted to get an Apple in a long time.
Don't you love how I've hijacked the Dell conversation into Macs almost instantly?
Because hopefully Ben is now going to compare devices.
They've still got a castrated processor in them, don't they? The Atom?
On mic.
They've got a castrated processor in the ear.
No, they haven't. They've got a Core 2 Duo.
Pointing at my crotch and saying the word castrated.
It's not an Atom. It's a Core 2 Duo. So it's an old Intel processor, but it is much faster than an Atom. Yeah. And Atoms are a big problem, and they're the reason netbooks suck.
And a solid state as well. So the whole thing's sort of faster. The thing is, it's not designed to do heavy crunching on, right? It's designed to be the laptop you take and, you know, do your other work. In the office, I've got a serious one of these things, right? Which is designed for the heavy crunching.
Oh, Windows 7, yeah? That's the serious machine?
Something not like that.
That's where you do your work.
Yeah, no.
On Windows.
No.
Doesn't everyone?
You say it's not for crunching, but that solid state device actually makes it so much faster than the processor would usually imply that actually you can do things that people might think you couldn't. You can do video editing. Now, not the highest end video editing, but certainly, and not as fast as it's possible to do it, but faster than you'd expect for a very small and very light device.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And they've got great battery life.
Yep.
Yeah.
But they've got that... nothing, doesn't matter. They've got bloody OS X. I'm not a fan of OS X.
Yes. Yeah, so what's nice about it, you don't have to support it.
Yeah,
you know, so you don't have to. You know, my parents switched to OS X a few years ago, and they don't ask me any questions anymore. Pacific Fibre's on OS X.
Yeah,
you know, we have no support problems at all.
Yeah,
it's just it just works.
Yeah,
and the App Store is actually going to change everything.
You know, lately, that might be right, but I think Apple are a bit draconian, so it'll change everything. And so some publishers will have a real great experience, and everything that's even slightly risque is just going to be completely shut out. And is that actually okay for Apple to be making that decision? Because it's going to be the difference between surviving and dying.
Yep, and we found in Linker Power, you know, we're
actually freedom,
pretty risque.
Yeah.
So our products are 18.
Yeah.
but we sell.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we took out a few of the phrases which we thought they'd react to a bit more. But it is tough. But shit, man, if you want to sell lots of applications, then that's what you do.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be a submarket of raunchy stuff, or, you know, really raunchy stuff.
Yeah.
That you can hit.
If I was building apps, it would definitely be number one, iPhone, number two, Apple App Store.
Yep.
And I'm not a fan of iOS 10, but it's where I would be.
Yep.
Because you're fucking mad if you're not there. So you used the Dell Streak tablets?
Yeah, so that was the thing, the laptops. The
I'm interested in these tablets because I think that the iPad is by far the best tablet I've ever used,
yes.
But it's a little bit bigger than I
Yeah, laptop's a laptop, you know, the XPS and that sort of stuff. Kind of interesting.
The XPS laptops, though,
they're bringing out
previously, very gamer-centric, very heavy and extraordinarily ugly.
Yeah.
Very thick.
Yep.
Short battery life.
Still quite ugly.
Quite fast.
And they're bringing out 3D ones and stuff. So interesting. But
oh, fuck 3D.
But, yeah, so, you know, laptops everywhere. But the Streaks, the Dell Streak.
Now, there's a 5 and 7
five
inch
and
tablets.
5 and 7 inch tablets. So, firstly.
Are they Android or are they Windows 7?
Android.
Yeah. Weren't you worried about being seen with them?
The Android?
Well, the Windows tablets.
So, you use, use Apple's tablets. Because of the way it'll make you look to your peers?
Well,
or because you like them?
You wouldn't want to, you know, be in public with you know. What is this? A Dell?
Dell Streak.
Streak.
Yeah.
Right.
Look at this yeah. bigot over here.
The first thing I noticed is that they were actually really well made.
Yeah.
So I've handled Android,
aluminium?
Android tablets. I think
plastic.
Android, aluminium, plastic. They're quite... They're
nice, but it feels solid.
They're not creaky. They're really quite solid, right. And they're quite thin. And yeah, that's the thing is I've handled Android tablets before, yeah. You know, the billion Chinese
nice.
Ones, and they're crunching.
Those $150 ones. Yeah, I think everyone should stay far away.
But these seemed quite nice. The funny thing is the 5-inch, both the 5-inch and the 7-inch are a phone as well. You could use them for calling.
Ooh, 7's a bit big, isn't it?
5-inch is just borderline.
Well, it's nice to have it in the device.
You could throw a Bluetooth headset on and you know, use it in the car.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I like this. I was quite happy with the size of it compared to, because I've been reading books on the iPad.
Yeah.
And it's just too big.
Yeah.
Reading a book in bed on an iPad. It's just too...
It's quite heavy. And like I've got the Kindle DX, the bigger one, and I found that too big as well.
So you like the small Kindle?
The little Kindle's great.
Yeah.
The other thing with the iPad and the backlit displays is that it's tiring on the eyes after a while.
Yeah.
Not nearly as good as a reflective display.
Yeah.
Which the Kindle and the ebooks have.
Yeah.
Yes. No good.
So on the whole, you liked the these tablets.
Yeah, just a really brief play with them. But I did actually, I was more impressed than I thought about. I thought, oh, fucking, you know, Android.
What are the apps like that?
How many apps were there?
I didn't even notice.
If it's Android Marketplace, then it'll be like 100,000 apps, but most of them will be shit. And you won't be able to find them.
Yeah. And they're Android 2.2, and isn't now Android saying that that Honeycomb 3 is their tablet OS, so what's going to happen there? And, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
This versioning thing is the big problem with Android.
It's hard to buy it. It's still an explorer's market, right? Yes.
Oh, and it'll be hard to buy it because you go to the Dell site and they'll try and fuck you left, right. I mean, not as bad as HP, but I mean, they will not just let you buy it.
No.
They'll make you go through a lot of steps.
Dell, I remember I was in the States and I bought a few Dells and Gateways and things. Yeah. Those guys used to rock, right? They defined e-commerce. They invented it almost, right?
Yeah.
And now I go to the Dell website and I don't know what the hell I'm doing there. It's they're like, what are you, a small business, a person, a human, a government, a large enterprise?
Yeah.
Just let me buy a bloody monitor.
Yeah.
And it's so sad. It's sad to see the death of what is once a great company.
Compare it to the experience of going to Apple.com and using the store there. It's very simple.
Or is it Photo Mojo? Is that the one? There's a photo site. We'll give you the link. Yeah. And that's also such like the coolest e-commerce experience ever. You know, just
Photo Jojo.
Photo Jojo.
Lovely. Great stuff.
Ooh,
yeah.
It's one real simple. Favorites.
Yeah.
Should we move on to the word of the week?
Word of the week. Where's the sting machine?
She's not here.
She's gone.
No, it's the word of the week.
Her laptop's still here. I think I might tax it. The word of the week. I don't even remember what it was. Let me find it.
While Morgan's finding that, I'll just state that Windows Phone 7 has a fantastic feature where I try to type in at the Morgan and it changes it to at them organ.
I like that.
So from now on, I'm going to be capitalising the O in your Twitter name.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Nice.
Little M, big organ, little M, big organ. It's Morgan. the word, Lance. Now, please, if everyone would not watch the chat room for a moment, because they'll immediately go and look it up and spoil it for everyone.
Can I look it up?
No.
You have to attempt it.
Have you ever listened to the show? It's a bit long, probably too long for someone who actually likes to work.
I like to avoid work.
The idea is that I pick a word that I like from Urban Dictionary, or that I think is hairy or tricky, and I give you the word, and I try and get you to come up with the definition as found on Urban Dictionary.
And there's been a double bluff going on the last few weeks where the first few were horrendously sexual.
So let me give you some examples.
Yeah.
The very first one was Vatican roulette. Wow, that's going back into the distant past. This is the rhythm method of birth control. Yeah, no one got that one.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Yeah.
The second one was big sandwich.
I plead the fifth.
It's a larger than normal sandwich. Yes.
So yes,
yeah.
They go to and fro depending on whether they're sexual.
Do you remember the quabbing episode? Quabbing a twab.
I don't want to go.
Lemon crush.
Yeah.
Okay. What's Tokyo
surprise? The word of the week is butterfaith.
Butter, as in
butterfaith. I can't believe it's not butter. Something in there, I think. So because that's big in the States. So I might have put us off on a tangent here.
No, you're right. Believe in butterfaith.
So believing in natural stuff, like a crunchy person, a wholesome person, someone that believes in sort of eat the raw stuff.
My God, you're good.
Complete crap, but good. Yeah.
Ben,
butterfaith. Robin, you might have to step in. I'm still thinking hard.
I know. In that case, okay. I definitely want you to have a go, Ben, because I bet Robin's going to get it.
Butterfaith, butterfingers. So someone who has trouble catching balls but for some reason thinks they always can.
That's excellent. Yeah. Well, that's Robin?
Yeah.
Okay, I think it is butter being something that is spread is a faith that is easily spread.
That is such a great guess. I wish the sting machine was here because I'd like her to have a guess as well.
Someone that jumps from faith to faith. So building on those two.
Are you having another guess, are you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, okay,
it's a guess.
That's two guesses, both wrong.
Sensational. Yeah.
Has everyone heard of Butterface?
Butterface.
This is a girl who is super fine. Butterface.
Oh.
This is a girl who is super fine. She's all that, except she's got a religion that kind of ruins it all.
Fantastic.
So the definition, as described on Urban Dictionary, is a girl who is fun, intelligent, beautiful, and perfect in every way, except she's devoutly religious. Butterfaith. Right. Thank you, listeners. I hope you played along at home.
Oh, God. Someone in the chat room mentioned WebM and Google.
WebM. Tell me about WebM.
Google is removing support for H.264 from Chrome.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Replacing it with WebM.
That's a good thing. H.264 is not open.
Is WebM?
Is open everything?
I think. Did Google bought Ond? What are they called? WebM comes from the company that Google bought a long while ago to get the Ond2 codecs, right? Is this a Ond2 codec?
Then they
released them. Yeah, they opened them up.
Did that come from open source? Did that come from somebody else? So,
well, we know that H.264 is not open.
Yeah.
We know it's not.
Yeah. I hope that this is just a big bluff by Google to get the guys that own H.264 to sort of release it properly.
That would be brilliant. That would be the best answer, right?
Yeah.
Because I think someone concisely pointed it out that there is no way you can look at this which is good for end users.
Yeah.
It might be good for the ultimate goal of free web, but right now it's fucked for end users because it basically pushes people to Flash on Chrome or
I just want my iPhone and my iPad to work. That's all I care about.
Yeah, and they have H.264 hardware decoders in them, so.
Yeah, and sadly, Google doesn't own the iPad and the iPhone.
Yeah.
And so at some stage, you've got to say, well, we've got to encode for that as well on YouTube.
Yeah, but they're probably going to own a more popular device.
And this isn't Google YouTube, right? This is Google Chrome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Different people.
Yeah.
Do you think? But see, if Google were really wanting to back this, they would then re-encode everything on YouTube to WebM.
And we'd all go to Apple YouTube or whatever it's called, re-encode everything on YouTube so that you can do it on the iPad.
Yes. Yeah. Good. Any new
projects? Like H.264. I don't know why this fuss is necessary. I think it should be an open codec. Talios in the chat room says that Ond2's next release of their codec was released as open source. I'm having trouble parsing his sentence.
Right.
English, I think, is his third or fourth language after Java and C. And
do you have any new projects that you want to plug, Morgan?
I have an exciting new project
Yes.
that I'm working on with Sting Machine But she's not here, so I can't confirm with her that she wants to talk about it yet.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be great, though.
Good. Okay.
If you like vegetarian stuff, and if you don't get fucked, you murdering bastard. Did you like my song, Chat Room?
Please don't sing.
Sing along. Sing along with Morgan. Sing along on the Discourse Weekly Show.
No, I don't have anything new to announce, really. I did see a short for James Coleman's new show, that Science... What is it called? Science Mad Show?
Here's the crazy promo clip for Me and Paige's What? I don't even know what it's called, but there's a link there. I'll put it in the show notes. Yeah. James Coleman's show. It looks like they take something like Junkyard Wars style thing where they're trying to be inventive with trashy components and little flamethrowers and stuff.
Yeah, home appliances and make them better.
Yeah. Is that all?
Just looks really fun.
Yeah, it looks fun.
Sounds like an adult version of Let's Get Inventin', which is like one of the most awesome shows ever.
Yeah. I suggest, now this isn't one of my projects, but I suggest that everyone go to donothingfor2minutes.com after the show. Thank you. And just do nothing for 2 minutes. It's very enjoyable. And then once you've done nothing for 2 minutes, just leave that tab open and do it again. Do it again and again and again. Do it again and again and again. And then talk to someone face to face. Play with your kids. Eat some real food that you made from scratch.
Yeah, actually.
And once you've finished doing nothing for 2 minutes, just leave the tab open because it's got a nice kind of ocean wave sound and it's very soothing.
There was a research done recently that on a bunch of people who just recently started mindfulness meditation, and it said that after only 8 weeks, the structure of their brain changed.
Is that right?
More grey matter in the self-introspection and other areas of the brain.
That doesn't sound like a surprise. Just like everything, if you exercise it, it gets stronger.
8 weeks is remarkably short.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It makes me want to get into it.
Now, are we actually sure that's true, or is that people who are big?
No, it's the MRI stuff and proper study from what we could tell, what I could tell.
Yeah, I mean, you saw the article flash past as well, yeah. I'll look it up.
Now, should we talk about this live show again?
We kind of mentioned
February
it.
The 19th in the afternoon, probably about 3, maybe at the Town Hall. Possibly it won't happen.
In Wellington.
But if it does happen, I mean, you'll be there. I mean, it's going to be for Wellingtonians and Webstock attendees who are there on the Saturday only. It's going to be fucking awesome. Mm. We're going to make that shit explode. Probably do something with, you know, a bunch of beer for everyone.
Giveaways.
Maybe some giveaways. And that's about it for the show, I think.
Well, Lance, a massive thank you for turning up and hanging out
and build that fibre network.
Yes.
Yeah. It's been a blast. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on.
Letting me help extend the show to 2 hours.
Thank you.
As always, you can check the site for the show notes.
Yes, and you can if you've got any feedback, Twitter us, DiscourseNZ, or send us an email.
Or go to the Talkback page, but you won't do either of those things. You'll do the Twitter thing.
Yeah.
Or send us an MP3. You definitely won't do that.
Or just join in the live shows in the chat room.
Join the live shows, the chat room. Yeah. Now, chat room, is there a way for me to like open up this thing so that they can all talk? How do I do that? No, I can't actually do that here, can I?
I have to
do that with the other software.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the live viewers. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yes.
And if you didn't, you know, honestly, I don't care.
No, it's been cool.
But I hope you did.
Have a lovely night, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hey.
You've been listening to The Weekly Show on Whiskers.
Yay!
Isn't it great the way she does that?
Does it wrong.
So bright.